afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live, yes, from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. We live to fight another day. How long this will last is entirely up to the patience of the authorities here in Austin, Texas. As you may know, we're going down one way or the other. InfoWars is not long for this world, unfortunately. And just to catch you up, in case you're not familiar, a couple months ago, the judge here in Austin, Texas, had presented to the sheriffs the takedown order, the liquidation order. Go in, confiscate all the equipment, lock the doors. That belongs to the state now. So they gave those orders. Those orders were in the hands of the sheriffs, but they didn't serve them. They haven't actually moved on it yet because there was a federal stay. Now, that federal stay expired. We tried to get another stay yesterday. That was rejected. So there's now nothing stopping sheriffs from walking in right now, delivering those papers, and forcing us to evacuate. So that may happen during the show. We don't know. Could happen tomorrow. Frankly, I'm honestly surprised it hasn't happened already. But we're still here. And as long as we're still here, we'll bring you the best news humanly possible. And we've got a lot of that to get into. And we've got a very special guest in the third hour, Carlin Boroshenko, who does a lot of undercover research with Antifa. We played one of her videos earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, about SALT training. And basically, we're going to give you the whole lowdown on the brewing communist revolution happening right under our noses. But first, I want to go to a video, a little compilation I put together a while ago, back before Alex got fit. So he's still in his jolly phase in this video, but I think it's appropriate. It's Alex Jones. This little light of mine, imagine thinking you're going to be able to stop this man. Let's watch.
The species by a guild of psychopaths, and they must be defeated.
I'm gonna settle now, excuse me. We come back with extra 7 sticker calls, excuse me.
And no one has more fun than us defeating the New World Order, waging endless, ceaseless war against the forces of evil. We'll be back on the other side with more. Download the app. Have you downloaded it yet? I'll tell you how on the other side. Stay with us.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters for maybe the last time. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Like I said, or in case you missed the first 5 minutes, I explained that there is nothing preventing the sheriffs here in Austin from delivering and serving the takedown order that they've had signed by a judge and been in their possession for, I think, a couple months now. But for a couple months, the federal lawsuit that we're in has superseded the local lawsuit. There's been a stay on them actually, you know, doing, you know, fulfilling that function. So that stay went away yesterday. There's nothing preventing the sheriffs from walking in the door right now, delivering us the takedown order, in which case we'll have to peaceably evacuate the building and move to our offsite satellite location, which has been prepared for this exact purpose, because we've been prepared for this exact thing since at least this time last year. And in a way, I'm almost excited for this. It's a bittersweet feeling. It really is. And in case you're, when this show's over, you know, not right now, but later, like six around that time, if you're looking for, you know, more InfoWars content, I highly suggest you go watch the live stream that Rex Jones did yesterday. Follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z. I retweeted it myself. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. And you should be following us. You should be on X, or you should at least, you know, have the profiles bookmarked if you don't want to make an account or something. But I think you should. I think you should join us. I think you should follow us there so you can, you know, stay up to date on whatever comes next. But Rex did this hour-long sort of conversation with the chat where he was just reminiscing about this building, about growing up here, about how real Alex has been. And again, if you can't get the truth from the man's son, then I don't know who you're listening to. But it was a very moving diatribe, actually, and listening to it was very, very impactful and really made the whole thing real again. Because for the last year, it's been like I've been numbed to this idea. I've been numbed to this concept. It was so devastating a year ago when this happened. And remember, it was only one day, but for one day, it was like, didn't go into the office. I didn't do the show, live streamed from my house. And it was like, well, this is my future. This is it. And it was so dismal and gut-wrenching. But then we survived. And then it happened again. And then it happened again. And then it happened again. And around like the sixth time that you're essentially led to the, you know, execution, you're led to the guillotine, sack over your head, you know, wooden block locked down on your shoulders, only for them to go, yeah, not today, actually. You're going back to the cell. And that can only happen about five or six times before the side of the guillotine doesn't fill your heart with dread anymore. You're kind of like, oh, is it going to happen this time? Are you actually going to kill me? Or are you just screwing with me again? So, you know, it's very bittersweet. Obviously, it would have been great if this never happened. You can only imagine what InfoWars would have been able to achieve in the last 3 years if we hadn't had this wet blanket of a completely fraudulent bankruptcy trial over us the entire time. It's been very annoying. And so in a way, I'm glad to get out from under it. But listening to Rex recount the early days in this studio, the early days in this building, rather, because this studio didn't exist yet. And it was just a little almost closet sized podcast studio that we hardly even used back there anymore. And even just since I joined InfoWars right after Trump got inaugurated the first time, 2017. It's been about 7 years. Is that right? I guess it's been 8 years at this point.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I guess it's been 8 years. When I came here, this was the only studio. Alex Jones was broadcasting from this studio. Where his big studio is now was people, or I guess it was just like storage. I think there was a green screen set up in there. There was another building with the all the workers, the warehouse workers, packing stuff, shipping off supplements. Since then, we've built that new studio. We built the American Journal studio. This studio's gotten massive upgrades. We have continually built and continually gotten better, I think. Of course, over the last 3 years, we've been severely hampered. And I was looking over some videos from 2019 and just remembering all of the trips we took. I think we took like 2 trips to New York, couple trips to D.C. I went to London, you know, on the spur of the moment, because, again, that's what InfoWars can do when we're not being controlled by a federal bankruptcy court. So we're going to get back to that. And I know, Alex, as bittersweet as this is and as long as we've held on and fought for the symbol of InfoWars, I think there are much, much bigger and better things ahead. And this has been a trial, absolutely. And, of course, the biggest shout-out goes to the crew who has suffered along with all of us here at InfoWars, more than those of us on air, I'd say. People behind the scenes work like dogs and keep all of this afloat, and especially when you combine the already burdensome requirements of just running these shows. But on top of that, they're setting up whole new studios. Like, it's been crazy what the crew's been able to pull off. So I hope you continue to support us. And no matter what happens with InfoWars, you can go to thealexjonesstore.com and shop with confidence that you are supporting the next phase of our evolution. And you're going to get a fantastic product to boot, of course. And right now we have a special offer. It's the Last Stand Super Sale, as InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week, maybe today, maybe by the end of the show. We don't know. But that's why we're launching the Last Stand Super Sale to fund the next operation and keep us in the fight, in the information war, not just in the fight, but dominating on all the fronts. Buy any supplement at thealexjonesstore.com and get another bottle free while supplies last. And things are selling out. So go now, get any supplement, and you get another bottle free, 2-for-1 on any supplement at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, you're getting 20% off store-wide. We've never done a sale this big, but we need your support now more than ever. And, of course, there are other ways to support us. Obviously, I think, you know, buy the T-shirts, buy the merchandise, wear those around. There are free ways to support us as well. Follow us on X. Share our content. Download it yourself. Heck, you might want, and that's what I'm going to be doing as soon as this show's over. I'm going to be sitting at the office for a couple hours just making sure I've downloaded every show I've ever been on because it might go away. I mean, it will go away. We're not very far from that going away. So I'm like kind of worried. I'm like, oh crap, if they take band.video offline, I hope the Rumble backups stay up so I can download that stuff for my grandchildren. So, you know, maybe if you're not doing anything right now or just want to have this running in the background, start downloading stuff, man, because it's going to get removed. And it's not unlikely that if people take over InfoWars, they will try to issue copyright takedowns of our content from social media platforms. As I explained yesterday, that wouldn't be legal because we have always said it's free to air, so you can't go back on that years later. Technically, that's how copyright is supposed to work. But when the big tech wants to take us down anyway, and this company can say, actually, we own this copyright and we want you to take it down, then big tech will just do it. They'll just do it. Like I always explain, it's kind of like the 7-Eleven cashier who wants to sell booze to the underage person. They just need to see the ID, right? Doesn't have to be a real ID. Doesn't have to be their ID. They just have to be able to check that box to where if the cops come later, they can say, oh, I definitely checked his ID and he was 21. They know he's not 21. He's just trying. He just wants to check the boxes, dot the I's, cross the T's. Well, that's what may happen here, where big tech wants to take us down. Whatever company buys us may send them an order and they'll say, oh, well, I guess we're going to follow this. You know, which we have to legally. They don't. Long story short, download the content. Download the content now while you can. Anything special that you want to, have a record of. And of course, I haven't even mentioned it, the app. Get the app. I wonder how high we can drive this app on the list. It went from position 8 when Alex started his show to position 5, gone back down to 7. It was at 5 a few minutes ago. AJN Live, go to alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. It takes you right to the Apple App Store, and you can download it from there, and it's absolutely free. It takes about 10 seconds, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there I know, because I was one of them until I started working here, watch InfoWars all the time, never buy anything, never give any money. I get it. It's hard to, like, take that commitment. This is something that doesn't cost you anything. It is completely free. It takes literally 10 seconds. AlexJonesApp.com. Enter. Download. If you can't do that, like, please, just do that. If you can just do that, and the higher it goes up on the list, that means everybody in America with an iPhone opening the App Store sees it up there, de facto recommended, because it's so high up on the news level. So I would love to get that up to number two. I'd love to get it up to number one. We were number one last time we had an app until they took it down. But you know what happened then? They took the app out of the App Store, but if you downloaded it, it still worked. So I imagine the same thing exists with Alex Jones app. So it's on the store right now. You can go there. You can download it. They might choose to remove it from the store, but if you've downloaded it first, I don't think they remove it from your phone, or at least they didn't last time. So in case you need another reason, you know, get it now while you can. Even if you don't use it, it's fine. Just have it loaded on your phone, because if they remove it from the store, you will still have it. And that's extremely valuable, in my opinion. AJN Live is the name of the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. And you can listen live from there. And, of course, you can get the store there. And you can get updates there when we eventually get kicked out of here and have to go, you know, start the Alex Jones Network for real. So that's the update. I'm going to try to take your calls in the second hour. So I'll open up the phone lines then. I'm going to try to open up the phone lines for, well, I was going to say new callers. Maybe I should take regular callers, since we might not be here that much longer. Maybe this should be a classic episode. But regardless, I'll open up the phone lines in your second hours, because there's so much going on right now. It's kind of like I need the extra input. I need the extra perspectives on here to even figure out what the heck is going on. One of the things that's going on that's, I think, extremely important is the conflict between Russia and the United States, that despite seeming like it was getting to a more friendly condition following the summit in Alaska between Trump and Putin, like, we thought that was the beginning of what could and should be a wonderful friendship between our two countries, who have had, you know, friendly relations and really an alliance since, like, the Revolutionary War. There is no reason why we should be enemies with Russia. They're not communists anymore. They don't hate us. They don't oppose us in any significant way. They're not tearing our country apart from the inside. I mean, there's no reason. So we thought that Alaska would be the beginning of something really wonderful, the end of the Ukraine war. Wouldn't that be something? You know, friendly relations with Russia, getting an ally for what promises to be an eventual showdown with China. But we're going a different direction, apparently. And as much as Trump is doing a little bit of good stuff here or there, obviously better than otherwise, like, you got this speech from Pete Hegseth to all of the generals, and he's talking about, you know, it's shameful, basically, that we have these fat, out-of-shape soldiers walking around, and the generals are fat, too. And it's pathetic and demoralizing, really. Like, it genuinely has a negative impact on our warfighting capability. And it was wonderful to see that, and I saw somebody say, you know, don't ever let anybody tell you voting doesn't matter. If this election had gone to Kamala Harris, what speeches would they be giving to the generals? Be about being accepting of, you know, demisexual dog spirits. Like, thank God we've got real people in office who, even if they're not perfect, don't despise us and aren't actively working towards our destruction. But it's also, you know, a revelation in a lot of ways of just how screwed up we are, just how messed up our system is, that it does not matter if the American people want it and the American president wants it. People still pulling the strings in the deep state get their way every time, it seems. And it is very pathetic, in my opinion, that Trump gets pushed around by these people. Maybe there's more stuff going on that I don't see. But I can't really accept that excuse, because – the American people have Trump's back. And he has methods to communicate directly with us. So anything that's happening that would explain the complete reversal on so many issues. I mean, he's with the Pfizer CEO. We're going to war with Russia now. We're still looking like we're, you know, gearing up for another attack on Iran with all these air tankers moving over to the Mideast. And it's just like time after time after time, it's been total betrayal. And we'll get into what's happening with Harvard, too, because I consider that a betrayal as well. And it's like, okay, if any of this is explained by blackmail or by, like, pressure campaigns, it's like, dude, just come out and say it. Just you are the president of the United States. And if you tell us who the bad guys are, the American people will follow you and take care of it for you. Like, you have our loyalty. Why are you loyal to people who despise you and us? It doesn't make any sense. And so one of the major outcomes of this is that we, for some inexplicable, godforsaken reason, are still enemies with Russia and are still fighting Russia with everything we've got. And as much as I never had anything against Russia, the longer this war goes on and the more I see of Putin compared to the EU leadership, the NATO leadership, the more I like Putin, the more he seems like a reasonable guy. The more he seems like a guy who is not out to destroy the world and be a tyrant, where everything I see from the EU and the UK and any other country in Europe is just dripping with tyranny, dripping with authoritarianism. These people are scum and they're destroying their own homelands. So we're going to watch some speeches from Putin and you tell me if he seems like a madman, if he seems like somebody who's unhinged and crazy. He seems like he just wants the war to end, and I cannot figure out how both sides want the war to end, and it doesn't end. What the hell? Let's go to some of these speeches. So Putin gave a speech today, did a big question and answering shindig, and he answered a lot of questions about the Ukraine war. We'll start with clip number 6 here. Putin talking about the German army that doesn't really exist. Let's watch.
Cannot, unfortunately, fail to pay heed to that, and we must take that into consideration because of the need to sustain our defense and security, and we're looking at the militarization of Europe that has been gathering pace. Are these plain words or simple words or lip service, or is it serious? Because they say that the German army should be the most powerful in Europe. Okay, we have been listening to that attentively and eyeing that closely, trying to figure what they actually mean. I believe that no one has any doubts that the response of Russia will not be long in coming. The response to such threats will be, to put it mildly, quite convincing. This is about the response. We never initiated any military standoff. It's pointless, uncalled for, and absurd. It would drive us away from resolving real problems and challenges, and the societies sooner or later will bring their leaderships to account for ruining and ignoring their needs and aspirations and hopes. But if someone has a desire to rival with us in the military sphere, okay, go for it. Endeavor. Russia proved on many occasions when threats to our peace and security come to the fore and threats to our sovereignty and our statehood, we are swift in responding. No, you should not provoke us. Never, ever did it end badly for the provocateurs, and no exceptions will happen in future. There'll be none. Our history proved that weakness is unacceptable because it gives rise to temptation, to a delusion that anything may be resolved with us, and they may have their way from the position of force and indecisiveness and weakness. Russia will never demonstrate that. It is something that we will never demonstrate. Those who cherish the dream of inflicting a strategic defeat of us, let them know that. And those speaking actively about that.
So again, I mean, that's how I don't want my leader to respond to this. Like, how is it that Putin, the madman, Hitler 2.0, is far and away the more reasonable party in this discussion? He's just like, They say they want Germany to be the biggest army, and he's going to fight. Like, hey, we're not going to start it, but okay. You know, but all right. I mean, if you really want war, like, then we'll meet you in the field, okay? Like, if that's what you want, I guess we'll give it to you. Now, compare that to some of the statements of the EU leaders. We have that Ursula von der Leyen clip. Here's unelected leader of the EU, commissioner of the EU, Ursula von der Leyen, who, by the way, family earned their fortune by using Jewish slave labor in Nazi Germany, literally, just like Klaus Schwab and a lot of these scumbags. Here she is. Does she sound more or less militaristic and aggressive than Vladimir Putin? Let's watch.
Battle lines for a new world order based on power are being drawn right now. So, yes, Europe must fight for its place in the world, in which many major powers are either ambivalent or openly hostile to Europe, a world of imperial ambitions and imperial wars.
You are
a
the
world
empire.
In which dependencies
you are the
are
danger to the European people.
Weaponized. And it is for all these reasons that a new Europe must emerge.
Like, what does that even mean? She's like, we're defending Europe by making it something completely different. A new Europe, a new world order, if you will. Europe must fight. And it's like, Putin is there going, the European leadership does not care about their people. They just don't. All of their concerns are, frankly, at this point, a lot of them are illegal to even express in Europe. You'll be arrested if you try to actually advocate for yourself. But they want you to go fight a war against Russia, who, if nothing else, does seem at least not to be suicidal, unlike the European leaders. Let's go to a few more of these clips. Here's Putin actually showing some, you know, consideration for the Ukrainian soldiers, unlike the people that are sending them to die. Let's watch.
They have no remorse for that people. It's nothing but expendable material for globalist expansionists on the West, as well as their serfs in Kyiv. The results of reckless flibusterism speak for themselves.
I mean, yeah, no, he's right, though. Ukrainians are nothing but cannon fodder for the imperialistic ambitions of Europeans who are happy to let other people fight their wars for them. It really is sick. And there's the president of Russia at war with Ukraine, literally showing more consideration for Ukrainians than the leaders of the EU, who don't seem to give a damn that there are fathers and sons being ripped off the streets and thrown into vans to be sent to be literal cannon fodder on the front lines. Think Ursula von der Leyen cares at all? No, she's trying to get conscription. She wants to do it in Germany next. Let's go to one more clip here. Clip 11. This is Putin with a simple warning. Don't threaten Mother Russia ever, please.
But if someone has a desire to rival with us in the military sphere, okay, go for it. Endeavor. Russia proved on many occasions when threats to our peace and security come to the fore, and threats to our sovereignty and our statehood, we are swift in responding. No, you should not provoke us. Never ever did it end badly for the provocateurs. And
yeah, let's not go to war with Russia.
You okay?
This is undoubtedly one of the toughest announcements that I've ever personally had to make. But after the accident, it turned forward to even the Daytona 500. We've lost Dale Earnhardt.
Look, I'm not trying to frame myself as the GOAT, like a Dale Earnhardt who died with his boots on, sword in hand, or Michael Jordan, or Tom Brady, or Muhammad Ali. But the truth is, when it comes to information warfare and saving the American Republic, taking on the globalists, having the greatest effect, awakening Americans, people all over the world, InfoWars is the MVP. And the bad guys know that. That's why they come after us. That's why they sue us. That's why they attack us. Why they censor us, defank us, all of it. Because they see us as the lead elephant, the guy that has to be taken out. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've survived so many deep state attacks and attempts to close our doors in the last 8 years. It's intensified the last year. And people kind of see it as a boy who cried wolf thing. I mean, you see it in the news. They're coming to shut us down. You see them send in armed private security with no court order. Bloomberg's group, The Onion, having fake auctions. And we keep surviving. People say, well, you're invincible. But we've had big movements in state and federal court. So just please pray for InfoWars and pray for our future, because we are fighting so hard. This crew has put up with so much. And please, please remember that the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. And it's part of the Alex Jones Network. So even if they shut this place down, the Alex Jones Network, Big League, our sponsor, will be funding the crew, the satellite uplinks, the servers, the studios, all of it, the legal. And that's why when you go to the AlexJonesStore.com, you support there. It has a giant effect. Plus, I only sell you products that really work. The very best methylene blue, the very best bovine colostrum, the very best Shilajit, Irish sea moss, the very best spike protein detox, cardiovascular booster, ultimate life force. These products are incredible. They have 5-star reviews, 80%+ reorder rates. But I need you to get off the bench and go try the products, plus the widest selection of Patriot apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. It has been your financing of us that has kept us on air, and I want to thank those that have supported and love the products. But I want to encourage those of you that see this broadcast like a Netflix show or an NFL game or entertainment. This ain't entertainment. This is men and women in the arena fighting tyranny at point-blank range. The bad guys want us off the air because they know we are for real. So for our legal defense and staying on the air and expanding the face of this tyranny, regardless of what happens, you decide whether we stay on air. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Throughout this week, we've got deals on bovine colostrum, on ultramethylene blue, all of it, where you buy one, get one free. But we're only running 2 days for each product. So check out whenever you watch this, which product is there. Buy one, get one free. But everything's discounted at least 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Whatever you do, check out the widest selection of some of the best designs of Patriot apparel in the world. Over 600 designs. It's actually annoying how many designs are. It takes a lot of time to go through it all. And wear these shirts, wear these ball caps, and experience what it's like to see how many people are awake. It is a real adventure. So thanks for your support. Whatever you do, spread the word, pray for the broadcast, and I thank you humbly for all you've done. Now take action now in the spirit of 1776 at thealexjonesstore.com. Wars take money to finance. It's an info war, and you are the info when you take action. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Take advantage of our last stand super sale. It's on right now. You're getting 20% off store-wide, plus any supplement you get another one for free. So go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and racking up wins against the globalist. And we are, in a lot of ways, including the FBI announcing they're cutting ties with the ADL after TPUSA listed as extremist hate group. That story from InfoWars.com. I see a lot of people taking credit for this. And, you know, some people are like, I was the one who first posted the TPUSA thing showing that TPUSA was considered a hate group by the ADL. Well, the hate group, or TPUSA, was also considered a hate group by the SPLC. We need to take them down next. And this has been a collective effort by a lot of activists exposing the evil of these formerly well-trusted institutions like the Anti-Defamation League. They should have never been capable of the position that they're in. I was reading yesterday, they've been working with the FBI since the 60s. 1968 was when they first started advising the FBI. From 1968 to 2025, the ADL was the one that decided what was and wasn't terrorism in this country. Sort of explains the trajectory of our country since the late 60s, doesn't it? So this is a major removal of a very pernicious group with control of our government. Now, that's not looking at it through rose-colored glasses. I perfectly recognize that this probably has more to do with the fact the ADL is pushed a little bit too far, and basically it's actually at this point hampering or damaging what its intended purpose is, which is to, you know, provide cover for, in many cases, the actions of the Israeli state. And so it'll probably be replaced with a right-wing version of exactly what it is. But regardless, it's like you don't not attack your enemy because you think there's going to be a counterattack or because they might find a different way to attack you later. Like, no, you take on the enemy, you destroy their institutions, you destroy the methods by which and the mechanisms by which they tyrannize you, and then you keep doing that until you're free. So it's a good start. We got a lot, you know, more to destroy here. But this is the goal. And again, it's one of the things that people will get mad. You don't talk about the Jews. And it's like, I don't care about the Jews. I care about the ADL. I care about AIPAC. I care about the methods by which our government is controlled and turned against us. And we have to destroy those. And in my calculation, a lot of times, if you're approaching it from a perspective of the Jews are bad and the ADL is Jewish, therefore, the ADL is bad, it's like, okay, no one's going to buy that. Because, actually, Chase made this point on the Alex Jones Show today, the American people are not hateful. We actually love everybody. And the vast majority of American people are not anti-Semitic, don't want to be anti-Semitic, don't want anything to do with anti-Semitism, just like they don't want to have anything to do with racism or any of the other things they've been trained to understand are bad. So if you want to actually destroy the institutions that are wielding the power, then you go after the institutions wielding the power. And we're seeing success exactly because of that strategy. So I guess we're right again. I guess you could say that we're right once again. We have a lot of censorship news to talk about. We got a lot of government news to talk about as well. There's another shutdown. Now, I know time personally seems like it's flying faster than naturally for me. I don't know what it is, but the fact that it's been over 3 weeks since Charlie Kirk was murdered is absolutely mind-blowing to me. And it feels like it was a week ago that the big, beautiful bill was being passed and everybody was freaking out about it. And it was like this giant fight finally gets passed. And here we are like a month later and we're going through it again. And it's like, this is not a way to run a country, in my opinion. This is just annoying. It's just annoying and perpetual. It's a Groundhog's Day of, oh my God, we're exceeding the budget. Okay, we have to raise the budget. I don't know if we can raise the budget. Oh, the government's shutting down. It's your fault it's shutting down. No, it's your fault it's shutting down. Okay, it's back up. All right, we raised the budget. All right, let's do that again in a week. And it's like, oh my God, why? Why are we doing this? It's kind of like Trump is now, he wants to move away from quarterly earnings reports, which I think is a brilliant idea. You know, he's sitting there looking at China and going, China is deciding things on a 100-year timescale. We're trying to make money for the next quarter. Yeah, who do you think is going to win in the long run? The people planning a century ahead or the people just trying to pump their numbers up for November, right? It's ridiculous the way that we do things. And I think the budget battles and the government shutdown thing goes right along with this. It's just this annoying charade that we all, you know, get involved in every couple of months. And it's just exhausting. It's especially exhausting because the American people, how do I say this nicely? I can't. They're dumb. No, the American people are just very dumb and just believe literally the opposite of everything. And I'm thinking that maybe they figured out at some point that, like, they really don't need the lie to be convincing. The people that are in their pocket are just going to believe no matter what they say. And so they can lie outright. Like, I really think this is kind of a new development, and I think it has to do with their interpretation of Donald Trump. So remember, a lot of stuff that they do is predicated on lies about us, right? So they'll claim that Republicans are, politicizing the FBI. So their response to that is to first believe that uncritically, not look into it, research it, or ask any questions, but just accept on face value the most outrageous claims. They accept that claim, and then they design their own actions as if that claim's true. The Republicans are politicizing the FBI, then we'll politicize the FBI even harder. Of course, we never were. So it's just them fighting a war against villagers, right? That's what routinely happens with Democrats. It's like they're this delusional platoon that's running around Vietnam thinking they're fighting the enemy, and they're just massacring villagers one after another. And they're just like, we're winning. And it's like, no, you're just evil. You're just destroying people that aren't even trying to fight you. You're just bad people. And so I think part of it is that Trump, they present as this guy who lies all the time. And it's like, he really doesn't. I mean, he doesn't lie as much as normal people, let alone politicians. I mean, it's insane how much they lie about him and about everything, right? Very fine people on both sides. I mean, it's just relentless, the crap they come up with about him. And one of the things that they are most certain about is that he's a liar. And I think they sort of took that into, and they go, huh, Trump is lying to people and people believe him. We're in a post-truth world. I guess we'll just start lying too. I guess we'll just start saying things that we all know are untrue, but we'll all pretend that we think that they're true and just go along with it. Because again, that's what they think that we do. Do you see what I'm saying? They're like, we believe what Trump says because he's telling the truth. They think it's a lie. They think we believe Trump lying. So they think it's like clever in their perspective. Be like, well, they believe lies. We'll believe lies too. What do they think about that? That'll piss them off. We'll all pretend that Zoran Mamdani isn't a communist, and we'll all pretend to believe that. Isn't that funny? Isn't that clever of the way we do that? I really think they've just given up on even trying to be truthful. And another part of it is the fact that it works, is the fact that they do it and it works and they get completely blown out of the water. The lies that they say crumble into absolute absurdity within a couple months or so, but nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to apply that knowledge to the next time they're told something. They just believe the lie. And it really is something to behold. And the government shutdown is another example of this. More Americans blame Trump and Republicans than Democrats for shutdown, poll finds. We asked 1,000 Americans who they blame for the shutdown. Unreasonable requests punish regular Americans holding funds hostage. Republicans did not negotiate against anything Trump. Republicans have all the power. Here's what they said. And yeah, basically they say more Americans blame President Donald Trump and the congressional Republicans for the shutdown than Democrats, though many say they are not sure. People express moderate concern about the shutdown's impact in the early stage, which somewhat concerned with is the most common answer. A large majority support Democrats' call to extend federal health insurance subsidies in general, though just under half support the party demanding this if the extension, if it extends the government shutdown. So, you know, obviously they can't actually ask real questions and get real answers. Everything has to be not just one lie, but multiple layers of lies that you have to dig through. So one of the things they do here is they'll say, do you support the Democrats' call to extend federal health insurance subsidies? And people will say, well, yeah, I think regular Americans should have health care. And this is what they do. It really is as simple as this to fool the vast majority of American people. You can have a poll where you ask people, should Americans have health care? Who's not going to say yes to that? Like, everybody's going to say yes to that. And they go, well, okay, that means that everybody supports the Democrats' drive for universal health care. It's like, okay, once you explain anything about the function or effects of this policy, nobody'd be for it. The moment that you tell people, would you support extending federal health insurance for illegal immigrant criminals, you're probably not going to get the same answer, are you? But that's the reality. That is actually what they're shutting down the government to bring about. But they don't say that. And so then it looks like everybody supports the Democrats. And it's just liars lying to each other. It's just all one big charade. And it's just exhausting and infuriating. And of course, Heritage.org has a very thorough breakdown, and it's simply titled, Yes, Senate Democrats Have Shut Down the Government Over Giving Healthcare to Illegal Aliens. It's not complicated. It's not confusing. No, this is what it is. This is what it is. The vote for a continuing resolution, Senate Democrats demand rollback of Medicare, Medicaid, and ACA premium subsidy eligibility restrictions for certain immigrants. Such welfare and other benefits given to illegal aliens facilitate and prolong illegal immigration in the U.S. at great cost to the American taxpayer. And it gets even worse than that, because one of the things that the states are doing, what California did, was it basically eliminated any difference between the way illegal aliens or the way regular citizens are treated at hospitals. So if you take illegal immigrants out of receiving healthcare benefits, it's basically going to cause the entire California healthcare system to collapse because they've tied it all in together on purpose to try to make it harder for us not to pay for the Medicare and Medicaid of illegal alien foreigners. This should be the simplest decision ever. It is frankly treasonous to even suggest that we should be giving them health care. What are you talking about? And then they do this thing, and you know, they're masters at it at this point. Doesn't make it any less ridiculous. Clip 23 here, where they simultaneously, and it's pretty regular at this point, they simultaneously tell you the things not happening while supporting the thing happening. And again, I don't know how you can arrive at this point without some sort of, you know, very intense Monarch MK Ultra split personality mind control training. I don't know how they hold both of these cognitively dissonant beliefs at the same time, but they do. They do this, and it's something to behold. I mean, we've seen it over and over. I could probably think of 10 examples right now. How many people were out there both celebrating Charlie Kirk's murder and calling right-wingers the violent side? I mean, you would think just basic humanity would prevent somebody from expressing both of these things without any irony. These people don't even know what they're saying half the time. Let's go to clip 23 here. Democrats continue to pretend that they don't know anything about illegal aliens with health care. They've never even heard of such a thing. Let's watch.
I haven't heard anybody in my party saying that illegal immigrants should get access to the health insurance marketplace.
I'm so glad you said that. Actually, I have some tape.
I'm sorry. She could not have set it up better for him. He's about to show a compilation of every single Democrat presidential candidate saying exactly that. I love it. So I really want to emphasize, she literally just said, I've never heard anyone in my party claim that they want health care for illegal immigrants. Let's go back to the clip. But she's never heard a single person in her entire party make that claim. She's never heard it. Okay, well, let's show her, shall we?
Tape of your Democratic Party members saying this on the debate stage. So they've all said, and let's play the clip.
A lot of you have been talking tonight about these government health care plans that you've proposed in one form or another. This is a show of hands question, and hold them up for a moment so people can see. Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Every single one.
Senator, that's literally every member of your party, from moderate to more progressive.
Right, let's pause it. I haven't actually seen this. Is that the end of the clip? Ah, dang it. I want to see how she was how she would respond to that. I can guess. It has absolutely no impact on anything she believes. My official guess, my prediction as to how she was going to respond was going to be to just completely sideswipe anything she just saw. Again, how do you run a government with these people? When it's these people that not only can be presented with black and white, on video, bombshell, just dead to rights, evidence that what they just said was absolutely false. They don't care. They don't change their mind. It's like they didn't even see it. They're like robots. I mean, they're like, you know, robots from Westworld. They genuinely cannot see the things that don't conform to their programming. And then they turn around and tell you that the Republicans are the dishonest ones. The Republicans are the ones that you can't trust. Every day, there's like 10 examples of this level of lie. Just spit in your face. I've never seen a single Democrat ever say that illegals should have health care. Every single candidate, and that was early on, there was like 16 candidates, every single one of them raising their hands. I believe that was the same debate where Joe Biden said, we're going to surge the border. And then they pretend they never said that. Then they say, we need to pass this bill. We can't shut the border without the bill being passed. Trump gets into office, shuts it in a single day. I don't want to repeat myself, but at a certain point, we almost need to strap leftists down and just pump the sound into their head until it finally breaks through. You're being lied to. These people are liars. They're liars. They're liars. They lie. All they do is lie. They lie about everything all of the time. It's not even, they're not even good lies. They're easily disprovable, blatant fabrications. Why do you not leave them? Why do you not abandon them? Why do you keep believing the liars? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I really don't. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Frankly, I don't think we really need to. I don't think we actually, like at this point, I don't want to try to convince these people anymore. I don't care. I don't care that they won't believe us. I don't care that they believe lies. I just want to do what's right. I just want to do the things that are obvious and not have to bandy words with these forked tongue demons. Why do we even entertain their perspective? They are just psychotic locusts, just consuming everything that's good, shitting out progressivism, and then moving on to the next good thing and acting like they don't know what's going on. Right now, it's all about healthcare. Gee, what could have destroyed the healthcare system in the last couple decades? What could that possibly have been? Couldn't have been Obamacare, right? That certainly doesn't have any effect on healthcare prices. Just, it is just beyond absurd what these people tell each other and pretend to believe. I don't even think they believe it. I think they think it's funny. I think they think it's clever to all pretend that they believe lies. And they sort of get away with it. And we can go to other, actually, here, let's go to clip number one here. Cause right now there's this big, you know, it's the Schumer shutdown. AOC's talking about going after Chuck Schumer's seat. Cause he's sort of the de facto leader of the Democratic Party at this point. Out of all the humans, he would be the one in charge. But person actually in charge of the Democratic Party, let's go to clip number one here. Here's a gentleman on the street who knows more than most. Let's watch.
Who do you think is the current leader of the Democratic Party?
Lucifer.
Can you expand on that?
Evil energy possesses certain people with power and makes them take certain actions. You can look at that in the occult practices of Nazi Germany. And you can look at that in the politics of the modern day.
Fact check. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, that's accurate. Yes, Lucifer, the prince of evil, is in fact the leader of the Democratic Party. And he has a stranglehold on their rotten, despicable minds. And you know what? Is this not a message of unity that I'm telling you right now? Can we not all come together on this? Do we not all recognize that the blue blood psychopaths in the Republican and the Democratic Party are our enemies and we can come together on this? I want to go to a video now. This is a politician. I really think he's on the left, but he's been on our show many times. He's a very brave activist. I first became aware of him because he was storming town halls with people like AOC and yelling at them until he's physically removed from the building. But he's on the left. But I want you to listen to this message and tell me if you don't resonate with, if this doesn't resonate with you, if there's not something very fundamental that we align on here that's more important, I think, than our differences. Let's go to clip number eight. This is Jose Vega. Jose Vega, and he's on X, I believe it, JOSBTriga. He needs a better X name. But Jose Vega is his name, and he's a great activist. Let's go to clip eight now.
This morning, another building collapsed in the South Bronx. The congressman of this area continues to ignore this, doesn't do anything about this. Luxury skyrises are being built. Casinos are being proposed to be built in the Bronx. Our schools are shutting down. Our food pantries are shutting down. Our hospitals are shutting down. And we are sending Bronx taxpayer money to Israel so they can continue to slaughter and kill Palestinian children. But Israelis can get free health care and free education. What are we doing? What are the Democrats doing in this area? For 50 years, they've controlled this area, and for 50 years, it's been the poorest congressional district in the entire country. We have a Democratic city council, a Democratic Bronx borough president, a Democratic state legislator, a Democratic governor. I don't want to hear shit about enough Republicans are the ones who are messing up our government. Republicans didn't cause this. Democrats weren't the only ones responsible for this. The entire government has failed the Bronx. If you are black, brown, and poor, you have no voice here. That is the message that is being sent to the people of the Bronx. Because just 2 blocks away from here, they put all their money and resources into building luxury buildings for who? Where the starting price is $2,600 for a studio apartment. All these families displaced here, elderly people, children, all being displaced, and nothing is being done about it but words. Bronx deserves a real voice, and people need to stop being bullied around. People don't have places to go. We are being kicked out. We are being burned out. We are being exploded out of our own fucking houses. And our taxpayer money is being used to fund a genocide around the world. And nobody is standing up for the people of the Bronx. It's just shock and awe here, like it's shock and awe over there. And I am tired of it.
Jose Vega, and he's running for Congress. Again, you know, the message about black and brown people, you know, there's a little bit of sort of wealth envy that I don't jive with. But at its heart, can you not vibe with that? Do you not get exactly what he's saying? That anywhere in the country you go, it's the same story over and over. That the people who are elected to represent us don't give a damn about anybody they're supposed to represent. And it doesn't matter if it's the poorest neighborhood in the Bronx or the richest neighborhood in Dallas, you're being screwed over continually by everybody. At a certain point, we have to reject it and we have to do something new. And for now, maybe the best possibility is voting for people like Jose Vega that say what you want about him. Maybe I don't agree with, you know, some of his policies, but at the end of the day, I'd rather have somebody that cares about the American people and wants to serve them in whatever way they see that coming about than the people that are up there to line their pockets and sell us out to a foreign country, sell us out to foreign interests, and sell out the people to the highest bidder so they can be, you know, moved out, ethnically cleansed, and replaced with immigrants who they can pay half as much to deliver Uber Eats. Like, we are losing something fundamental here, and I think what Jose Vega is saying there represents that fundamental feeling that we're missing. That feeling of genuine concern. Unless he's the best actor in the world. I heard genuine concern there for the people in his neighborhood. But we, for some reason, we can't get representation. Well, not for some reason. For one main reason, we don't have the money or the connections to compete with the lobbyists. So we're left out to dry, our buildings collapsing, our families destroyed, and the politicians rich.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West Awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, the West Awakens with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowshowstore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense Immune Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got War Bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, just like being Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time, get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our methylene blue. You are crazy if you don't get our Ultimate Life Force Blood Detox. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Second hour is on. I had my times mixed up at the beginning. I was thinking I was going to have my guest on in the third hour, and I was going to take calls this hour. I got that mixed up, so I'm going to be very happy to welcome my guest in the next 5 minutes. And so we're going to talk about Antifa, and then I'll take your calls in the third hour. So hang on for that. But we're going to talk about Antifa. We're going to talk about what they're planning, and we're going to talk about what they're doing right now and what you can do to get involved in the fight against Antifa online or in real life. What's been happening in Portland, Oregon is truly shameful and pathetic to see the local police incapable of getting a handle on things, the feds having to come in and make up for it, and then the local police, you know, claiming that this is some sort of violation of their rights as a city when everything they're involved in contributes to the very real destruction of rights for the people around these areas who no longer have a safe neighborhood because they've been allowed to, the neighborhoods have been allowed to be run over by Antifa. Let's go to clip 19 here. It has just been confirmed the Portland mayor and council blocked local police from responding to Antifa, the terrorists outside of the federal building. So they're literally being stopped from doing their jobs, and then they're saying it's fascism if the federal government has to come in and do it for them. Let's watch.
Security, ISIS Portland director Kamala Wamsley told me she's extremely frustrated with Portland police. She says the Portland mayor and city council largely block police from responding to any violence at ISIS building. Take a listen.
They're not really supposed to respond to this building.
Mm-hmm.
There have been folks that have been assaulted right down here on the street, even across the street, and it takes Portland police a while to respond, or sometimes they don't respond at all.
Is that frustrating?
It is frustrating. It's frustrating for us to watch people be attacked on the street and know that we don't have the authority to be able to really step in unless there's some nexus to federal law.
Mm-hmm.
That's frustrating for us.
And last night we did see multiple verbal scuffles almost get to the point of physical confrontations, all while the Portland police liaisons were standing just across the street watching everything but deciding not to intervene. And that in part is why President Trump has said he is sending the National Guard here to Portland. He says the locals aren't doing their job when it comes to protecting this federal
facility.
Yeah,
they're literally not doing their job. They're choosing not to do their job. They're deliberately not doing their job. And the Portland, Oregon residents do not have to be subject to that. You are not obligated to be unsafe, be attacked outside of your own home, be yelled at and screeched at by a bunch of black-clad communist activists attacking you continuously. You're an American citizen. You don't have to live like that. So, yeah, if you don't want the feds going into cities, then the cities need to do their jobs. It's not that complicated. Let's hear from a Portland resident who's had to deal with this and is over the moon that finally somebody's stepping in to do what the local police will not do. Let's go to clip number 35 here.
I'm so happy that Trump is sending the National Guard in here. I live in the building. We both live in this building. We've been asking for help for months, and finally gonna get it.
I'm not sure what's the playback seems a little messed up there. Might have been something messed up in the playback, but you got the idea right there. He's just like, thank God somebody's coming in to stop these radicals who are constantly harassing us. Yeah, good. Let's go to 45 now. Again, regular citizen sees an Antifa member being arrested, and look how she responds. Let's watch.
Oh,
so there the you know, somebody gets slammed to the ground, gets arrested. Antifa getting yanked off the street here, and then I believe we'll have time here. Yeah, they're making a circle. I think we can bring the audio back up because there's the locals. Big thumbs up. Bring the audio back up. Let's hear
this. Support them.
I love them.
Oh, I love them too. Here, right here. Fist bump.
Yeah. He's a believer.
People literally like jubilant, jubilation. When Antifa gets arrested, the regular citizens, the law-abiding citizens, the good people who are constantly attacked, constantly menaced by these scumbags, finally have somebody stepping up for them. I wish it wasn't the federal government, but nobody else is doing it. We'll be right back.
Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Navigating the maze of mainstream narratives, Harrison Smith finds the hidden paths in the war room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the war room is on. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support everything that we are doing here. And, of course, go to Alex Jones app, Alex Jones app. Download the official Alex Jones app. We're trying to get it up to number 1 on the news list on the Apple Store. We started number 8 this morning. I think we got up to number 5. Not sure where we're sitting now, but download it. It's free. AlexJonesApp.com. Stay up to date no matter what happens with us next. Now, I'm very, very happy to welcome my guest, Carlin Borisenko. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She is a bold and unapologetic voice in the fight against collectivist ideologies, a psychologist turned independent journalist armed with sharp wit and a talent for decoding the left's language and tactics. She dives deep into socialist and communist culture to expose their strategies and contradictions. And of course, you'll recognize her if you were watching the show last week. We played one of her videos. That was really incredibly powerful, showing the sort of behind-the-scenes organization of Antifa. You can follow her on X at Dr. Carlin B, and that's K-A-R-L-Y-N-B, D-R-K-A-R-L-Y-N-B on X, decodetheleft.com, carlin.substack.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm really impressed by the work that you do, and I recognize you. You've been around for a while, but I lost track of you, and then I started seeing your stuff again. You're sort of having this resurgence. Explain to people, you know, who you are and what's led you to this point, and what do you do?
Yeah, so I've been around actually kind of since 2020, where people might remember me as the knitting Democrat who left the left. And I, you know, was running around conservative and MAGA circles for a while. And then after the 2020 election, I retreated and I basically started infiltrating the far left and going inside their DEI trainings at first. I was going inside DEI trainings that were at colleges and universities all over the country, streaming those on my YouTube channel. And then at some point, I started kind of backing into following the radical revolutionary far left in America. Because I figured out that this is where all of these crazy ideas are coming from critical race theory to gender ideology to climate change, reproductive justice, abolish the police. They all have an origin point, and that is the radical revolutionary socialists and communists in America. And so I've been going undercover at their events in person. I've infiltrated hundreds of their events online to record them, to try to break down the language for people and to show people directly what's going on with primary source evidence, because I feel very strongly that we need to understand the enemy that we are fighting. They are more organized. They're more strategic, and quite frankly, they're more motivated than I think most people give them credit for. And I think we're in for a world of hurt if we don't start wrapping our head around it.
I think so, too. I think people fall for the sort of temptation of downplaying the left. They're all just stupid. They're all just college kids. Like, who cares? But, like, you're going to lose to them if that's how you treat them. No, they're very organized. They're highly intelligent. They know what they're doing. They're trying to destroy the country, and they're making, you know, progress in that direction. So you have to treat your enemy seriously. And what you find is bombshell stuff. Again, we've got some videos here that we can go to of yours, but we've played them on the show before. And one thing that's interesting is it seems like they're doing this almost out in the open. I mean, they're not really hiding themselves too much. And have you noticed that, or do you agree? And what do you think is behind that choice that they make, that just do this sort of out in the open?
I 100% agree that they're doing it out in the open, but the thing is, you have to know where to look for it. And that was the hardest part for me to figure out when I first started doing this. It probably took me about, 6 months to a year to really figure out where I needed to look for this information consistently. But the reason they're able to do it out in the open is that there just are not people like us paying attention. I mean, for the longest time, I've been one of the very few people that's been going inside their meetings consistently and recording them. And so they are not used to people like us paying attention. So you can go sign up for their meetings. You can go sign up for their membership list. You can go and you can go to almost all of this stuff virtually online. Some are a little bit more difficult to go to than others, but they do operate completely in the open and anyone can go in and look.
So what is the biggest threat right now that you see? Because last week, The video that we showed of yours was the salting, and it was about setting up for this big grand strike on May Day 2028. And I think that's an important date for people to know. Should that be the main focus right now? Is it what's going on in Portland with these Antifa cells? To you, what is the number one thing to be focusing on when it comes to the far left right now?
Well, I mean, I think it's hard, Harrison, because there are so many different groups on the far left, and I don't think people understand exactly how deep this bench is. So you do have groups like the Democratic Socialists of America, who are the ones that did that salting training. They're doing a whole mass organized effort to try to get their members into jobs in strategic organizations to lead up to a mass general strike in 2028. They're trying to cripple the economy with that. But the thing that's interesting about that is it's not just the DSA that's doing that. Just yesterday, I saw a video of a former Democrat congresswoman outside of the immigration detention center in Chicago, also talking about how the progressives, the people behind Indivisible, are also going to be organizing for a mass general strike. And they want to do what's called a practice strike within the next 6 months, again, all leading up to this 2028 thing. And then, of course, we always have Antifa and the real far left revolutionaries, and they're going to be a constant problem. And I think the danger with Antifa specifically, which is different than the DSA, Antifa specifically does not have one funding source that can be cut off. Mm. Maybe they can have some lawyers that are cut off from them, and that might be a good avenue for the Trump administration to pursue. But Antifa is not funded by any affluent funder. They're funded by mutual aid. And so even if Trump and his team figures out a way to cut off their legal aid, they are still going to be violently organizing pretty much every day that they're allowed to be on the street. So I really do hope that Trump bringing the National Guard into Portland and other places is going to actually lead to arresting Antifa, because they're going to be violent as long as they're allowed to be free.
Yeah, it certainly seems like that. And for people who missed the show last week, can you explain the salting method and what they intend to do with putting people in these positions?
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea behind salting is that you are getting your socialist members' jobs and organizations, whether that be Amazon or Starbucks or grocery stores or the auto workers or the airlines or even in education. Education is a very strategic industry. And the whole point of getting them jobs is that they are going to be agitating to create new unions, or if unions already exist, getting more people in those unions. And so the unions are basically a focal point of leftist organizing. Almost every single leftist organizing call I'm on, there is a union representative of some sort. I just infiltrated one last night, actually, where they were talking about the No Kings Day protest that was coming up on the 18th. And they actually had a member of the Chicago Teachers Union on the call talking about how they are organizing to create sanctuary schools within the Chicago school districts to protect everyone from being deported from ICE. So the unions are a very big problem. And what they're going to try to do is target key industries to have everyone go on strike at the same time in an attempt to cripple the economy and to basically be the spark of the worker revolution in America.
Yeah. And that, so I guess that's the question. Is their planning contained just to the strike? Because the idea is you've got all these unions and you can all, coordinate it to where all of your, contracts expire on the same day. So they're getting all these different unions, all the contracts expiring on by May 1st, right? May Day 2028, and then they're going to try to shut down the entire economy and basically say, give us free health care, give us these socialist programs, or we won't open up the economy. I mean, it's so brazen. It's so insane that they would threaten to hold the entire country hostage like this, and they're doing it out in the open. We showed your video where you're looking at the, and I looked at the website. It's the UAW leader saying, here's what we're doing. We're going to hold the country hostage so they give us what we want. Well, I don't want that, and you don't have a right to hold me hostage until you get what you want. It is so flagrantly undemocratic. It's amazing that they are trying to, I forgot even what I was asking. I just got mad. What are they trying to do here? How successful do you think this will be? I mean, just tell us more about what you know about this May Day, in 3 years.
I mean, I think we need to just be impressed by the fact that we are 3 years away from this, and they're already planning for this to be a reality. So they're setting the foundation. They're doing the groundwork now. And based on what I've seen them do, I mean, the Democratic Socialists of America in particular, people should be terrified because they are actually creating a nationwide electoral machine. People don't realize this. They hear about Zoran Mandami, and like, obviously Zoran Mandami is going to be the next mayor of New York City. But the reason Zoran Mandami is going to be the next mayor of New York City is the DSA in New York City has been organizing for 10 years to create an absolute electoral machine in New York City. They have over 30,000 individual volunteers like working for him, basically door knocking and making phone calls. They've made millions of phone calls. They're doing targeted outreach to new voters in Moss and things like that. And if you look at, and I go into their organizing calls both in New York and nationally all the time, they're trying to take that strategy that's working in New York and applying it nationally to getting DSA members elected in local city council races. And they actually just did basically $100,000 phone banking effort where they're calling it socialist cash beats capitalist trash, where they've been calling DSA members all over the country to raise money for people running at local levels for the city council in places like Rochester and Atlanta and New Jersey and, you know, Seattle. And they own the city council in Portland. And this is part of why nothing gets done in Portland. But I really don't think people realize that the DSA is creating quite an electoral machine, and they are highly organized and motivated, and they are growing.
Well, absolutely. And of course, you know, DSA was behind AOC. I mean, we should have been, you know, aware of this a long time ago when AOC came out of nowhere and, you know, unseated the incumbent. People went, well, who is this lady? She was a waitress. Yeah, no, she literally tried out. Like, you know, there was an audition and they auditioned people and said she's the one and chose her. So, I mean, that's how powerful the machine is. You can just plug anybody in basically and they can, you know, win an election. I mean, obviously she's talented in certain ways, but, you know, that's what they are able to accomplish. And so that does actually tie into the question I was asking earlier that I now remember. Is this just a strike or is this something bigger? Because it seems to me like you've got the strike being planned and you've got the DSA seating their people in city councils all over the country. Then we played another video last week and had on Mike Shelby of the Gray Zone talking about how they're deciding on a color for their color revolution. Mm-hmm. So is this just a strike, or are they intending the strike to be the jump off of a widespread, genuine, like Bolshevik style revolution?
I mean, they are quite literally trying to spark the Bolshevik revolution right now. And you guys got to understand, it's not just one tactic. One of the things that's so terrifying to me about the left is I go into their calls almost every single day and I hear different strategies and different tactics almost every day. So, for example, one of the things that they're doing is since January, basically, Antifa and the far left have been organizing to try to inhibit Trump's deportation. And part of the reason, quite frankly, that we haven't had the mass deportations that I think many of us want is because the far left has made it incredibly difficult in places like Chicago and Portland and Los Angeles for Trump to actually be able to execute his strategy. This is something that they've been doing since January that just hasn't been reported on at all. So that is a big part of what they're doing, organizing the unions, getting them out to protest, getting people out consistently to come to events. That's part of the ecosystem of the far left. Is the reason they have so many protests and rallies is not necessarily that they think that one protest or rally is going to change anything, but they want people in the habit of going out and protesting and attending events and getting them into the social ecosystem so that they can continue to radicalize them. And they know if they can get you out to like three or more events that you're probably going to show up consistently for them after the fact. And we can see just based on the coverage all year that the protests have been getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Even the No Kings Day protest coming up on October 18th, which is more of a progressive thing. It's not really the far left, but they're expecting it to be double or even triple the size of the No Kings protest earlier this year, which was already the largest nationwide protest in history. And that's because they're constantly out there getting people involved, making sure they're giving them different things to do. And they're active in a number of ways, from boycotting Tesla facilities to boycotting airlines that are deporting people to being active in the schools and putting together plans to create sanctuary schools. They're specifically ignoring Trump's executive orders around teaching gender and all that stuff in school. Those are just being ignored and completely obfuscated. So the far left is actively doing a lot of different things to try to undercut what's going on.
You know, since you brought up the teachers, let me ask you this. What is the connection between UAW, the United Auto Workers Union, and teachers? Because I've heard that for some reason the union, the auto workers and the teachers union is like intertwined somehow. Well, what is that about?
So the UAW has a specific kind of like segment or caucus within it that is explicitly for graduate students and faculty members in higher education. So people may not understand this. There are a lot of different unions in higher education, but the UAW specifically targets like the graduate students. And this, we saw this very prominently with the pro-Palestine encampments, especially around New York City and stuff like that, where anytime they were having one of those big pro-Palestine protests in New York City, a graduate student from Columbia would get up and say, and I'm in UAW number X, Y, B, and Z, or what have you. Of course, the teachers' unions are also heavily unionized themselves, both through the National Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers, both of which have been involved heavily in things like the May Day protests and have been organizing just pretty continuously all year long.
It's so what a tangled web we weave, I guess you could say. It's so tangled and intertwined and contradictory. It's very confusing, but obviously they're just pushing forward with everything they've got. Now, I showed your video, and then you did a live stream where you watched our coverage, and there was one thing I wanted to ask you about, because as we're watching it, I'm comparing the beginning of the strike to sort of like what happened in Germany in 1918, and I'm showing this video where they're picking the color for the color revolution, and I brought up George Soros as being, you know, the open societies being one of the main movers behind color revolutions in places like Ukraine and elsewhere, and that got a big laugh out of you, and it seemed like your audience was like, oh no, Soros again. What did I get wrong about associating George Soros with this movement?
I mean, you're not wrong in that Soros does fund parts of it, but he tends to fund more progressive causes and like more Democrat politicians. So things like Indivisible, which is really the force behind the No Kings protest, that's a progressive organization, absolutely connected to George Soros. But the reason that we laugh is that we get people in my chat and comments online all the time saying George Soros is funding Antifa. Ted Cruz just tweeted like the other day that George Soros is funding Antifa. Trump seems to think he can cut off Soros money to Antifa, and I'm very sorry to break everyone's heart, but George Soros absolutely does not fund Antifa. Antifa is funded with mutual aid, which are small donations that are made in cash or like products, like maybe gas masks, or they do other things too. But that is how Antifa is funded. They're almost entirely self-funded. And again, I've been undercover with them in their private spaces. I have many former Antifa members in my community that actually watch this content and do this research with me, and they will tell you exactly the same thing. So, and that's one of the tricky pieces with this whole web of the far left, in that there is a huge funding network, but it's not coming from the places that people think it is. It is coming from voluntary donations, dues that the organizations charge, and things like that are mostly handled in cash and are, quite frankly, very hard to trace and very hard to cut off.
Yeah, and you know, maybe some of the lawyers might be getting big checks, but for the average Antifa member, like, I've talked to people in Antifa, and they're like, I'm not getting paid for anything. I mean, because, you know, yes, some of it's paid. You know, you got to pay the lawyers and stuff, but I mean, they're dedicated, they're true believers, and they really want to go out there and they think they're fighting the power. On that note, I mean, is there a way to confront this on the informational level? Because it seems like we just need boots on the ground to just put a stop to them. But when you see how widespread it is, when you see the videos that we're showing of all these different people marching, and a lot of them look like nice, pleasant, intelligent people, how do they fall for this stuff? And what do they think they're fighting against? Like, help us get behind the psychology of the people involved in this.
You know, I equate the far left to a cult, where it is very much an environment where they are creating a social ecosystem where the people involved in this ecosystem only ever talk to each other. They only read books that are assigned to kind of the group as part of a book club. And they genuinely do believe that they're trying to create a better world. They are trying to overthrow. We need to be very clear about this. They are trying to overthrow the federal government. They believe the federal government and the Constitution are grounded in capitalism, and they cannot abolish capitalism until they abolish the government in the Constitution, but they genuinely do believe they're trying to create a better world. Now, that's crazy and wrong, and it's probably going to lead to us starving, but there is something altruistic about their motives. So, and I want people to understand this, because they believe they're fighting the good fight. They believe that they are the freedom fighters of their generation, and many of them believe that we will see a socialist world in our lifetime. They believe we're in late-stage capitalism, and that they are very close to their revolution, and that's why they're doing all these direct actions that we're seeing in cities cities, whether it be protests or vandalism or the things going on outside the ICE facilities, because they are trying to light the spark of the revolution to get the proletariat to rise up so that they can, you know, start the process of transitioning the leadership in the country. But they do all believe that, you know, they believe that they are caring for each other. They believe that if they do not get their Marxist revolution, that all of their friends and family will literally die at the hands of capitalism. And so there's something kind of noble about that, but it's also frightening at the same time because it makes them zealots.
Right. It's sort of the fork in the road. You're either going to become, you know, an info warrior and a right winger, or you're going to become a left winger, but you start off with that same impulse of like, things are wrong. It's unfair. I want to fight for justice. And, you know, just have, if you walk into the wrong bookstore, you get led down the wrong path. And that's a big part of it, right? Bookstores, book fairs, the funding mechanism that you're describing earlier, it has a lot to do with that culture, right? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a fun activity that everyone can do. Just Google radical revolutionary bookstore in your city. It might be called a revolutionary bookstore, a radical bookstore, a collective, something like that, a queer bookstore. And you will find a hub of socialist education. And they have these bookstores all over the country in major cities. They have book fairs where they hand out propaganda. I was just at one in New York a couple weeks ago where I came back with a stack of propaganda, literally that thick, from different far left organizations. And one of the things that people don't understand is that education really is at the forefront of the organizing of the far left. So in these bookstores, they have event spaces where they're getting their socialist authors out there. They're selling their books. They're having discussions about them. They're learning about all this stuff as a community. And that's part of what bonds the community together. Socialist book publishing is also another source of funding for these people. There are a ton of socialist book publishers from Haymarket Books, PNM Press, Verso Books, Pluto Press, AK Press. And these publishers are not only selling to socialist bookstores, they're also selling to colleges and universities. So there is actually a bookstore in downtown Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's called the Harvard Bookstore. It's not affiliated with the university, but if you look in their windows sometimes, they actually have a big Haymarket Books display. Haymarket Books is one of the largest socialist book publishers in the United States. So this is definitely a place where they are actually getting funding from selling their materials.
Yeah, it really is. It's the type of thing where if you don't notice it, if you don't know it's there, you're not going to see it. But once you start looking for it, it's kind of everywhere, and it's kind of terrifying, honestly, seeing how many of these people there are walking around as our friends and neighbor, and they're trying to overthrow the federal government. Like, it's, and they're open about that, and the federal government's not doing anything up till now, and even now I'm not seeing a ton of action. What do you think about the action that Trump has taken with the federal government since he got into office? You think it's enough, not enough? Is it working? Is it changing their behavior? What's the effect that that's having?
I sadly think that the Trump administration has not done anything that is going to have any impact on the far left at all. You know, I've read his executive orders around labeling Antifa a terrorist organization. They aren't even defining what Antifa is, so I think those are going to be very hard to implement. I know his executive orders around gender in schools are not being followed because I have teachers on video saying they're not being followed. I think the Trump administration needs to start hinging into reality with how the real far left is organized. And quite frankly, what you just said is, you know, they hide in plain sight. They're literally everywhere. This is why I spend so much time streaming their content on my channel and teaching people their language and breaking it down. And I've seen this repeatedly with people in my audience. Once you start to understand their language and become fluent in it, you literally start to see it everywhere. And you're absolutely right. Like, they are operating out in the open. There's more of these people than anyone thinks there are. And I think that we need to be returning to the primary sources because they put all their materials online. They put their strategy sessions, their trainings, all this stuff on the website for us to watch. And there's quite frankly more than enough content for everyone to be watching. I mean, one of the things I liked about your segment the other day where you showed my video was that you talked about how anyone can go into these meetings and record, and we need more people to start doing this stuff. And that's absolutely true. I'm one person. I can't record every socialist on the internet. So I would love more people to be doing that, because the more we expose their content, the more we teach people how it shows up in the world.
100%. And it sounds fun. Like, it seems fun. You're like a spy. You're like an independent spy, you know, spying on these people trying to bring the country down, and you can create, you know, a social media platform. You can actually make money with this. I mean, this could be your job, you know, like it's become yours. So I want to talk to you about how people get involved in that, how they can help you and your efforts, how they get started, where they look, and what, you know, to avoid and what can be dangerous about it. So again, my guest is Carlyn Borisenko, and you can follow her on X at DrKarlynB. That's Dr. Carlyn B. DecodeTheLeft.com, Carlyn.substack.com as well. And I encourage you to go and follow her. And again, I remember seeing you pop up. It must have been around 2020. You're on Fox News and stuff, and And then I didn't see you for a while, and then I rediscovered you, and I've gone down the rabbit hole, and it's a deep, dark place, but you're a wonderful guide through it. So we'll be back on the other side. More from Carlin, how you can get involved, and what else the DSA is up to. And I want to find out the connections between the scum on the ground and the people in the ivory towers.
Speaking of mysteries, how did you wind up knowing Alex Jones?
It was his early videos. It was his early documentaries. It was the stuff he produced himself, like on VHS. I watched that documentary. I'd been, you know, a fan of Alex's early stuff. And that's, you know, just him.
So you knew who he was on 9/11?
Yeah.
You were on a radio show and you talked about 9/11, and you have, is it a theory, or you just don't believe the government account of what happened on 9/11?
I just had questions.
Yeah?
I had a lot of questions. And the forum I chose to voice those questions in is the Alex Jones radio show. Mm-hmm. And just because he's a guy that I've been a fan of and followed for a lot of years.
He's my friend. I would mean no disrespect. I love him. He's coming
sure.
here in a month. But I'd never heard of Alex Jones on 9/11. It's interesting that you have long felt like you want to look at other sources of information.
Of course. Yeah, I've always done my own research. Always. I've got to believe that the Pentagon is the most protected and documented, video protected, surveilled building in the history of the known universe, right?
Turns out not.
Well, I'm saying
I think we just have one two videos help. From the parking lot.
Kiosk. Yeah.
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 And then that is weird, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And then Building 7, it just you can't. You can't watch that and say that is the result of a fire that burned for 5 hours on two floors. You can't sell that to me. And you know, that for years that was always met with, that is disrespecting the victims.
They are hurting the victims' families, the survivors, because they continue to raise this preposterous notion that the United States government would be so hideously manipulative that we would kill almost 3,000 of our own citizens as a pretext to going to war in Afghanistan.
How is that disrespecting the fallen heroes? How? If you're just looking for the truth behind what is clearly not what how it was explained.
It was like, if they had detonated. If they were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
So that's how I met Alex. I said, hi, Alex. I'm a fan for years. I said, we have to talk. 0 hour is upon us. And he called in 10 minutes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then flew out to see you.
Yeah. And then we thought, okay, let's build a secret weapon. Let's do something that like is unique. So we got together and we wrote this piece called 20 Minutes with the President.
20 Minutes with the President.
We drilled down into the 20 things that were really bulletproof. Really bulletproof. But Alex said they're just going to paint you as crazy.
Of course.
And I said, really? That's like, they can't get more creative than that? He says, no, they're just going to call you crazy. And smash cut to like a week later, and it was Bill O'Reilly, and it was Geraldo, and they just dismissed me in one sentence. Well, Charlie Sheen's obviously crazy.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone can find that clip, I'm sure.
Charlie Sheen continues to say the U.S. government knew about 9/11 before it happened.
It's one of these things like Area 51 with the aliens in New Mexico. No matter how you
think,
define
you think
it, they Sheen still believe.
Is crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think
he's crazy.
I think that he has a trick gene or a screw loose.
Personally, I wanted to create a public document specifically rooted in fact. If anybody dares question that, I would encourage those people to scrutinize it, to research it. The truth is unchanging, Alex, as we both know.
And I was always amazed to see that you always had hard data to back up your claims.
In the InfoWar.
In the InfoWar.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I think we have all seen that, you know, teachers' unions are really strong, and it's also DSA's biggest industry. So there's a lot of overlap between socialists and teachers, and hopefully more soon. basically, when teachers go on strike, it's as if every single parent at their job is also going on strike because they can't go to work.
Your exchanges with students can help shape a generation of critical thinkers and political actors. You will be a key source for how many young Americans come to perceive the world around them. You may even have the opportunity to teach about social justice and liberation history. And crucially for organizers, your political work doesn't end at the classroom door.
We as socialists need to build a militant minority of class-conscious teachers that can move our unions in a more militant and democratic direction.
Okay, that clip you just heard, those were, some of them were elementary school teachers, folks. That was the Democratic Socialists of America Labor Caucus workers, organizing workers, SALT training from September 22nd of this year. It was captured by my guest, Carlin Borisenko. You can follow her on X at Dr. Carlin B. That's Dr. Carlin B. And you can also, of course, that's from her stream. She streams on Rumble, rumble.com/Carlin, and on YouTube as well. Yeah, I was following along with your facial expressions there. It is shocking to hear teachers, again, so openly talking about using their position of trust and power over children to shape them into little activists to serve their ends. I mean, despicable stuff, Carlin.
Yeah, I mean, and this is very regular on their streams. If you go to their trainings, their live streams, stuff like that. And it's almost funny because I hear this stuff over and over and over again, I'm continuously shocked out of the things that come out of their mouth. Like, for example, I went undercover at the Socialism 2023 conference a couple years ago, which is actually the real name of a conference. It's called the Socialism Conference. It takes place in Chicago every year. And I actually got the president of the American Library Association on video talking about libraries being sites of Marxist organizing. I've gotten teachers on video talking about getting around Florida's anti-woke laws by zooming. What they actually do is teachers in Florida zoom in teachers from other states into Florida classrooms to teach the stuff they're not supposed to teach in Florida so that the teachers can say that they're not teaching it. I've got them on video talking about overthrowing the federal government 19 ways from Sunday. They say the craziest things out loud because they really don't think people like us are listening.
And you can listen to them, and you can listen to them, and you can bust them. You can break this news. So how does one do that? How do you go about it? Because, you know, we've instructed people how to do this, too, because one thing I noticed that during Trump's second administration, the protests bent a lot older on the spectrum, a lot of geriatrics out there protesting, not a lot of young people. People saw that and said, the left has given up. I said, no. They went underground. They've given up on protesting. They don't think that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden is worth it. So they went underground and are organizing underground. And we've even showed things like Telegram groups where, you know, in the public facing part of the Telegram group, they'll say, I think protesting isn't enough. We need real action. And somebody else will say, that's for the private chat. Join here. And then they have a private room where you actually have to have a Signal account where you can do a video interview, because that's how careful they are in some of these inner circles on vetting people, making sure you're not an infiltrator. So how does one get involved in this? How would our audience, if somebody's sitting out there watching this, learning about this for the first time, how would they get involved in what you do, or, you know, starting their own method of doing this?
Yeah, the very first thing I would do is I would say you need to learn the language of the far left, because a lot of people, even if they listen to the far left, they don't really understand what they're saying and they think it sounds like word salad. It's very confusing. They do have their own dialect. I call it socialist. You can call it whatever you want, but it's not plain English. They use the same vocabulary as us, but not the same dictionary. So I actually have training classes on my Substack, which you guys have had up, carlin.substack.com. If you go to the How to Speak Socialist section at the very top, you will find three introductory level training classes where I go into their trainings, I use their clips, I break down the language, I tell you what it means. You can come to my live streams, I'll teach you the language there. It's important that you know what the language means going into it, because if you don't know what the language means, you aren't going to be able to identify the important points. So that's step number one, is you got to put your learning hat on and you got to learn how to speak a different language. This does take a little bit of time. I cannot teach you how to do this in a 5-minute video. You've got to put a little bit of effort into it. Once you do that, what I would recommend then is start start by going into like DSA calls. Join the local DSA in your area. I actually have members in DSAs all over the country that are feeding me information from different like little city council races that they're running, organizing strategies, things like that. The reason I say to start with the DSA is it is actually the least dangerous and like low commitment thing you can do. You pay them $5 a month in dues. You get access to all their meetings. You can go in, record them, ask questions. Once you learn how to speak their language, you can have conversations with them where you're, you know, pretending to be like them, just like a spy, which is a rather fun thing to do. You can also go to bookstores in your area, find out what events are going on. And just to start, like, what, if you're going to go to something in person, I recommend going to a book reading or something like that. Because part of the challenge, Harrison, that people don't anticipate when they're going undercover at these events is you have to sit there and just listen and not show that you're right. shocked at what's going
right.
on. And it does, it takes a certain amount of like mental preparation to do that, going into it. So just start small, go to a book reading for a couple hours and just get used to being that in that environment. The first time I ever went undercover, I went to a socialist reproductive justice conference at Hampshire College in Massachusetts. And it was a moment where I was in a college classroom surrounded by all of these gender studies majors where they all had like shaved heads and unshaved armpits and that sort of thing. And it was a moment where I was like, oh my God, I'm in a socialist training video right now. I almost burst out laughing in the middle of the room because it was so unexpected and hilarious. So you actually do have to prepare for these things.
Well, so, and I wonder, is there any, temptation for you to, cause in that video, you're being very quiet. I don't know if your mic is on or if you're in the Zoom call, but like, are you only watching or is there any temptation to start maybe throwing some wrenches in the works and start bringing up stuff that you know is going to start some arguments or are you doing anything like that?
Oh, I do that all the time. I'm being quiet because I'm like, that's my recording of the call. So I want the recording to come out. But, no, I ask them questions all the time, but I try to be very strategic about the questions that I'm asking because I want them to think I'm one of them to say the quiet part out loud. And so, yeah, I get them talking about wanting to abolish capitalism. I get them talking about all the ways in which they're going to obfuscate Trump's executive orders, and stuff like that. So, but again, you have to learn the language because you have to know exactly how to frame it so that they don't suspect. Because now that my stuff is getting out there a little bit more, they are very aware that I'm recording them. I was actually secretly recording someone at a university in Indiana like about a week ago. And in the call, when they went to the Q&A session, they said, we have to be careful because people are infiltrating these calls now. Right. So just stay on topic with your questions. So they are aware of it. So we have to be extra sneaky.
Well, but even that can be good, right? Even that, just, you know, letting them know, like, all right, you're not safe here. You can't actually, you know, talk freely. That's going to hamper them in a certain way as well. And just, you know, out of curiosity, I asked the crew to print out this simple sabotage field manual by the CIA. And I'm wondering if these have any, you know, advice for this. Because, again, that would be – I hear you. I would have a very hard time sitting there quietly and nodding along to some of this stuff. I would be very tempted to start – well, is that really fair to black people? Do we think that's fair to – you know, and just to mess them up a little bit, that would be very tempting. Are you aware of this manual by any chance?
I'm not aware of the manual, but I have to take a look at it now.
It's got some very good tactics, and it's all stuff like that. And it's funny because once you start looking at this, you'll see the way that these things are often deployed by socialists in, you know, unions or, you know, corporations. You'll see like, oh, this is what they're doing, but you can do it to them. We don't have to adopt their ideology to adopt some of their tactics. And I encourage that because we can see how effective some of their tactics are. Now, when it comes to the vocabulary, it's interesting. The first video I ever did for InfoWars 7 years ago was outside of a Bilderberg meeting, and it was called How to Speak Globalist. And it was the same thing. It was, all right, when they say this, what they mean is this. When they say, you know, whatever, and there are certain words you can find. Stakeholder is one of them. Equity is one of them. Resilience. If you see resilience, that means that there's world economic fingers not too far away. So that's very interesting. And I wonder, what is the connection between some of the higher level, you know, World Economic Forum types that are pushing the digital ID, that are pushing the one world government, and the scum on the ground, for lack of a better word? I mean, is there a connection there? Is there a shared ideology? Well, you know, what is the connection? Because it seems like we're fighting two different forces, but in reality, I think they're kind of the same. How do you judge that?
I understand why you say that. So actually the far left hates the WEF and the World Economic Forum stuff. I've heard them talking about this specifically, but it is also true that both the Radical Revolutionary Socialists in the United States and the WEF want globalism. They both have a different vision of globalism. How I explain this to people is it's basically like we've got the Red Sox and the Yankees, right? They both want to win the World Series, but that doesn't mean they're on the same team. It just means they're going to fight at some point. So I think that's what we're dealing with.
That's very interesting. Yeah, because like you said, I mean, they aren't directly funding these people, but they are funding the ideas or they're giving cover for them. And again, for people that want to be involved in this, obviously they can go and actually start infiltrating and recording this stuff. I think that's very valuable, especially, I mean, just getting the, you know, you don't even have to put your face or anything. You can just get the recording and post it and go, here's what they're talking about. Isn't this crazy? Yep. And that's incredibly valuable. What about in real life? Or, you know, once you get the information, how do you act on it? Do you act on it? If you find out that they're organizing, you know, city council to do something, do you then go and talk to the city council about that? I mean, what is the strategy to put this information into effect to stop their plans?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question. I think you can do this locally by letting other people know what's going on, making sure they understand it. The biggest challenge we have right now, Harrison, is I think that there are a lot of people, quite frankly, that just don't take the left seriously and that are very, very apathetic to what they're doing. And that is the biggest challenge that I have in terms of getting this information out there, even to right-leaning audiences, is that they don't think that this is a serious threat. They think that Trump has contained all this information. And so for me, what I try to do is just educate people as much as possible about here's how you identify the language, here's how it's showing up in the world, here are places it might show up, here's information that you can go out and give to people in your communities, whether they're on the city council, whether they're on the school board, whether they're just parents in your communities that are concerned about what's going on. We need to start educating each other and helping our neighbors and our family and our friends to really start to perceive this as an imminent threat to the country, because I do genuinely believe it is. I think that, you know, the Civil War is not going to be Democrats versus Republicans. It's not going to be red versus blue. It's going to be radical revolutionary socialist versus the federal government. And I think it's going to come sooner than many people think. And I don't think many are prepared for it. And I think they should start listening to what the left is talking about.
I think you're exactly right. And, you know, again, I look back in history. The Bolshevik Revolution is a great example. But I think the German Revolution, 1918, it looks an awful lot like what they're planning. If you know what happened there, it started, you know, up in the north and actually started in the Navy. But essentially, you had, you know, socialist agitators, many of whom were actually sent by Soviet Russia, you know, specifically go get a job in a union. They would radicalize that union. And so then when the revolution actually popped off, when the Navy refused orders and they created a little Soviet in this town, started with an F, but right near Hamburg. But the instance that happened, people in Munich went, okay, it's our turn now. You know, we're the, you know, Bavarian Socialist People's Party. And it was like they already had all these people in all these important industries and all these important or, you know, city councils, things like that. And they almost had a parallel government structure like ready to go, waiting for the revolution. And once it popped off, they all, you know, took their position, said we're in charge now. So it looks an awful lot like that. I mean, do you think that's the scale we're talking about here in 2028?
100%. That is what we're talking about. And what you'll start noticing, and this has been happening over the past several years, is you're starting to see these revolutionary communist parties get started in the United States. These are political parties, but they're not really about running for office. You have like the Revolutionary Communists of America. You have the Party for Socialism and Liberation that's been around for a long time. The DSA, obviously. But all of these political parties are kind of like ramping up their recruitment, not because they want to run for office, but because they're trying to give people something to join so that when the revolution happens, they're already ready for it. And I'll tell you, they do a lot of education around the Russian Revolution and the Bolshevik Revolution, and they are directly trying to model that in the United States right now. You know, my husband grew up in Ukraine. He grew up in the USSR, and I was explaining to him this general strike thing that I've been seeing. And the first thing out of his mouth to me was, oh, that's the revolution then. That's what they're trying to do here. And I said, that's exactly right.
Yeah. I think people, like you said, they don't take it seriously. And it's like, maybe we're just a nerd to this at this point, but it's like, there is a communist revolution being planned right now. It's got some of the biggest unions. It's got this incredibly powerful political infrastructure with the DSA. And they're telling you, May 1st, 2028, it's on. And like, we would be so stupid to allow them to get to that point. And obviously, they're going to talk about the Bolshevik Revolution because that one worked. The 1918 revolution in Germany was shut down, but it was purely from these like independent military generals that just said, I'm going to go in and shut this down. And they just sort of without orders went in and crushed the Communist Party. I don't think we're going to get that lucky this time in America. I don't think we're going to have any, you know, battalions in the fort down the street, you know, walking in and taking over the city hall. Maybe so, but we would be fools not to be prepared for this and to be putting things in place right now to counteract or dismantle their obvious and open plans of 2028. How do we do that, Carlin?
I mean, again, what I'm trying to do, Harrison, is I'm trying to educate as many people as I can about the language of the far left, because I think, and we've, you know, you mentioned this earlier, as soon as you start understanding the language they're using, you start seeing it show up everywhere. Yeah. Another thing I'm working on right now is I have a nonprofit called the Center for Left-Wing Studies. People can find it at leftwingstudies.com, where I'm actually trying to map out the modern leftist ecosystem. I'm trying to map all their organizations out and actually show it on a physical map so that people can see what we're dealing with. And I got to tell you, this is actually one of the most terrifying projects I'm working on right now, because it is a giant rabbit hole where every time we uncover one organization, we get 50 more that we have to look into, and they're all over the place. And I think that, you know, what I'm trying to do is really put a lot of data and primary source evidence around it so that we can start to get a sense of the enemy we're fighting. Because again, if people aren't hinged into reality, if we're just dealing with these narrative talking points that the politicians are using, that they're running around on Twitter with, we are not going to be prepared. And this map that you're showing on your screen right now, this is just like we're basically starting to build this out. This is a teeny tiny little segment just that we've loaded in for the moment. But this map, I promise you, in a couple of months is going to be completely filled with red pins all over it. And because that is how severe the problem is.
Yeah, I noticed you don't have any red pins in Texas, and I can tell you. There should be about 200 pins in Austin alone, from the number of groups that I know. So, well, that seems like a very fun project. Can people contribute to that project if they go there, and give us that website again?
Yeah, absolutely. This is leftwingstudies.com. If they go to the give section, it is a nonprofit, so it is a tax deductible donation. And also, if you want to volunteer to help me, click the volunteer button and follow the instructions, and I will bring you on to the volunteer team, and we'll teach you how to do that.
I think it's so incredible what you're doing, and it's such a, you know, you're the type of person that I see what you're doing, and I'm like, how are there not 100 people doing this? How is she not going on Fox News every day, or like, you know, national platforms to talk about this? Clearly, because you're not even remotely speculating. You're not coming up with anything yourself. I mean, not to downplay what you're doing, but what you're doing is just showing the reality. You're just showing what they're doing and they're talking about. How is more attention not paid to this? Do you think the right wing in office right now has any idea what they're up against, and how do we get that message to them?
No, they have no idea what they're up against, Harrison. And I got to tell you, I've been asking myself the same question for a couple of years now. I basically, about a year ago, I woke up and I realized I was the only person doing this. And I basically had a massive panic attack because I was like, oh my God, there's more than I can ever actually do by myself. But no, I mean, it is mind boggling to me how little attention is paid to what is going on the ground. And what I constantly see that is covered on conservative media are just things that are advancing a narrative that is politically convenient at any given time. Well, ignoring information that is quite frankly hyper-relevant, that there is just not even getting any airtime. And again, I will use the ICE protests as part of this. Antifa and the far left has been organizing to protest and basically inhibit Trump's deportation plan literally since the minute he got elected to office. I started covering this on my Substack in January. They've been doing this the entire time, but it just wasn't covered on conservative media up until recently. And that is how the situation escalated and snowballed, where the problem is much bigger now than it was back in January, but no one was paying attention to it. And so I beg and plead people, please start hinging into reality. And listen, I'm not everyone's cup of tea as a teacher of socialism on the internet. I can be a bit much sometimes. I acknowledge that. But please just look at the evidence and look at the primary sources and just go right to the root of the cause, because it's all out there in public for everyone to see. And I think a lot of that is being ignored in favor of clickbait that is advancing a political narrative.
You know, I wonder if I'm just thinking about everything that you're describing, the salting, because the salting is two form, right? One is getting people into the union who will radicalize the union. The other part is getting people into positions organizations that don't have a union, Amazon, Starbucks, Walmart, those types of places. Those are not unionized, but they're hiring people in order to get the union going. And I'm sitting here like, I wonder if Amazon could help us out. Like, they don't want a union. I wonder if we could show this to Jeff Bezos, go, hey, these people are trying to bring your company down. I mean, and you know, I hate to fulfill the stereotype of being a corporate stooge, but it's like, do they not care that this is happening? They're going after your companies. Maybe you want to have some interest in this. Maybe they can use some of those political donations they are so generous with to actually move the ball, you know, in our direction and away from the far leftists. I'm just sort of spitballing and thinking out loud here, but what are the corporations doing to fight this infiltration that's happening?
They're doing absolutely nothing. And if Jeff Bezos wants to see more video of that salting training, there were Amazon employees on that salting training, like current Amazon employees talking about what they were doing at Amazon. So if Jeff wants to see that clip, I'm more than happy to provide it. But yeah, I mean, I think like I would love to get the attention of Elon Musk on this one. And I appreciate a lot of the things that Elon Musk has done, but I think he still has a little ways to go in understanding the true motives and nature of the far left. And I think that if we were able to show him some of the footage we have of leftists talking about trying to overthrow the country, abolishing the Constitution. By the way, another thing that people don't talk about is when they're talking about abolishing capitalism, one of the aspects of capitalism they want to abolish are parental rights over your kids. So all the attacks on parental rights are coming from this ideology. I have socialists on video talking about how children are private property of their parents, that they want to abolish that. I have them on video saying F parental rights. And this is if this doesn't motivate you, I don't know what does. In the socialist utopia, there will be no parental rights. The children will belong to the community and they will get whatever trans-affirming surgery that the community wants them to have and all these things. And that is the world they're building towards.
Yeah, it's weird how all of this is intertwined. You'd think that, you know, you wouldn't have to be down with the sexual stuff to just want to take down but no, there's something about it. It's all the same movement. And you almost have to believe all of it to believe any of it. And I think Elon Musk would be a great person, but again, I think it'd be fun to go into these, find the Amazon person, find their manager and start sending emails going, you know, this person's trying to unionize right here. You might want to fire him. I mean, we could disrupt this so well if we had enough people just sharing this information, just getting this, getting the videos to the people that it actually concerns. People are not going out and looking for this. And it's a damn shame in this country that people, you know, have to be told things, but like, that's our job. We gotta shove this in people's faces and go, look, watch. They are telling you what they're doing. Are you okay with this? If not, let's move against them. You just do incredible work, and I've so enjoyed this hour. I've learned a lot. You can follow Carlin Borisenko at Dr. Carlin B on X. Decode the Left, carlin.substack.com. That's carlyn.substack.com. Leftwingstudies.com. You got a lot of stuff going on. You're a very busy woman. But I always have, every time I have a good guest on like you, I get people on X going, who was that woman? So I'm going to say it again, all right? carlyn.substack.com. Is that a good sort of home base for you and they can find other stuff from there?
Yeah, that is a perfect home base for me. And listen, we do need more people doing this. And if you want to learn the language of the left, I personally don't care what other political disagreements we have. We have one big enemy in this country, and we need to start setting all the other stuff aside and focusing on the thing that matters, because they are literally trying to burn it all down. So if you want to learn about the left, come follow my streams. I stream Monday through Friday on YouTube at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I do a Socialism Saturday stream on Saturdays at 6 p.m. where we watch the real radical revolutionary far left. I publish on the Substack. I have the nonprofit going. I'm doing the best I can. And as many people show up to help me, we will be able to map out the modern left, create lists of activists that we can go to organizations with, and do to them, quite frankly, exactly what they are doing to us. I don't think there is anything wrong with taking the left strategy and applying it against the left. I think that's exactly what that we need to be doing. And people might get, you know, clutch their pearls a little bit over, oh, you know, are we a leftist if we're using their strategy? Well, no, because our ideas are better. And right now, they're winning because they're out there implementing this strategy that is very effective, that is working. And so if we implement this strategy with our ideas, we can defeat them. But we've got to get serious about it. We've got to start learning their language. And I will teach anyone that wants to come and learn.
Incredibly powerful stuff. And that actually reminds me of the thing Elon Musk said like yesterday, where he said, you know, the idea being better doesn't really matter. It's who puts the work in. They have terrible ideas, but they're out there organizing, they're fundraising, they're going to, you know, the book fairs on the weekend and meeting people and sharing their number. If you're just sitting in your room, you know, clicking around on X, you're going to lose. It doesn't matter if your ideas are better. So I think that's so important. What an incredibly powerful message. Carlin Borisenko, thank you so much for being with us on X at Dr. Carlin B. You're going to have to come back again very soon. I want regular updates from you on to what the left is up to. So thank you so much for being with us, and I hope to talk to you again very soon.
Absolutely, Harrison. Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to next time.
Wow, absolutely incredible stuff. I'm blown away. And again, it's a full on communist revolution. Like, you cannot overstate this. You cannot blow this, up more than it is. It's dangerous how little we're paying attention to this right now. So absolutely incredible stuff. We'll be back on the other side. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. 20% off everything right now. It's a massive sale. 2-for-1 on all the supplements because this is our last stand. We're still here, folks, but it's up to you how much longer we will be.
We need a sense of urgency, people. This is it for everything, for the whole world's future. The West falls, it all falls. America falls, the West falls. Now listen, speaking of that, just like our information is the best, our product's the best. I need your financial support. They are literally in court tomorrow, and it may happen. This federal judge has ruled 10 times in a row for us because what they're doing is so criminal. But I don't know. It looks bad because a bunch of other stuff happened in state court. They don't own the Alex Jones channel, even if they get this place. And it's funding the new network and everything. I need your support now. This is a fundraiser. Plus, the products are insane. We only sell stuff that really works good. Ultra Methylene Blue. But right now, we have buy one bottle of the very best creatine you can get. It's the top private label, the top one, with this special patented micro creatine that's so much more powerful. Buy one already discounted. Ultimate creatine powder at thealexjonesstore.com and get a second bottle free. This is a flash sale. Probably going 2 or 3 days because it's limited supply. Enhanced strength, muscular growth, improved mental stamina, that's the big one. Increased workout intensity, so good for your whole body and organs, accelerated recovery. Get Ultimate Creatine Powder now. The BOGO Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're at it, we have the very best bovine colostrum. Don't know about that. It's all the rage. We've got the best. It's discounted. The best Irish sea moss, the best Shilajit, the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular system, Ultimate Life Force, and the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go now. Be part of history. I can't do it without you. I'm asking for your help. Firing the bat signal again. We are winning, but we reached the critical part of the battle. Support your own future now. I can't stop because I know we've already moved the needle. We've already hurt the globalist path. I've already tasted their blood. I'm not going down without victory. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go now. Be part of history.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Coming to you live from the InfoWars Command Center here in Austin, Texas. As far as I know, we're still here. As far as I know, the enemy has not breached the building, which is frankly surprising. I am surprised. In case you're just joining us, want a quick update, I'll just repeat what I said in the beginning of the show, which is that there is nothing stopping the sheriffs from coming in at any minute and shutting us down. They have the order. It's been signed by a judge. The shutdown order of InfoWars to seize our equipment and our building and to kick us out. It's there. It's on the sheriff's desk. It's up to them whenever they serve it, but there's nothing stopping them anymore. Till yesterday, there was a stay from a federal court that expired yesterday. We were not able to renew it. So now it's just a matter of time. Essentially, we are Alderaan looking up and seeing we have a new moon all of a sudden. Gee, where'd that come from? It looks metal and dangerous. Yeah, that's the Death Star. And they are aimed at us, and they're ready to blow us out of the water. They just haven't pulled the trigger yet, and I don't know why. But we are still here, and we are still fighting, and you can support us no matter what happens next at thealexjonesstore.com. Now I want to go to a video clip 26 here. This is a very brave woman, Katie Davis Court. She's been confronting, well, she's really just been documenting Antifa, and with no help from the Portland police. Let's watch her story.
Wow, that is quite a shiner. You all right?
Oh, yeah, I definitely have a black eye. So that's what it's been like covering Portland for the past 4 months. Complete lawlessness.
Wow. They say it's just one city block. Is that even true?
That's not true. So it went from being a war zone to one city block, but it's actually several blocks where that is completely controlled by Antifa-affiliated protesters who harass, assault, and threaten anyone who they perceive to be a threat to their cause, including journalists, local residents, and ICE agents. And the Trump administration is absolutely correct in deploying federal troops here because Portland police has completely abandoned this zone. They refuse to go in, and everyone that shows up is on their own.
So it's kind of like Chaz or Chop was in Seattle. They just I guess, secede this territory, cede it to Antifa, and they just let everything play out?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So last night I got assaulted and I immediately ran to a Portland police officer, hunted down the suspect, chased her through the streets and said, this is my assault suspect. Can you guys finally do something? And I had eyes on her for about 35 minutes. Portland police refused to come in and make an arrest. And I had three officers just standing there watching me try to hunt down this suspect. And imagine my anger when I go online after doing all of that about an hour ago. And I see Portland police put out a bolo asking for the public's help in identifying my assault suspect. So that is what it's like on the ground here in Portland. And it's time for a federal crackdown. The Trump administration needs to start treating Antifa like ISIS, the terrorists that they are, and put an end to them here for good.
All right. So Portland police say they're investigating. I guess you had spoken to a dialogue officer. I don't even know what that means, but he did nothing. So I don't even know what he's there for. Does it kind of feel like Portland officials, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but have formed some sort of alliance with Antifa?
Oh, absolutely. I would consider them Antifa at this point. Why not? So their whole agenda is to get ICE out of Portland. So they're trying to shield the public from what's going on down on the ground. But I have 4 months worth of video footage showing warlike scenes happening here. None of that footage is from 2020. But then you have Portland Police Chief Bob Day saying, oh, the videos that you guys are seeing are from 5 years ago. They're absolutely not. We have the evidence to back it up. And how dare he do that? I'm a journalist. I don't really have, I don't really say this often, but Portland Police Chief Bob Day, you need to resign. You need to resign immediately and now because you are a horrible leader and it's time for you to go.
Yeah, I'll show you the clip of that guy here on the other side, Chief Day. And it's just the most ridiculous. It is genuinely the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. He's basically like, it's fine because it's not the whole city. It's just a small part where people are being assaulted. It's fine.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Navigating the maze of mainstream narratives, Harrison Smith finds the hidden paths in the war room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final hour of The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm going to take your phone calls this hour. I got a lot of videos and stories still to go to, including I want to go to that statement from Officer Day of Portland. It's just an insane statement that we'll get to in just a second. We've got clips of Tucker Carlson talking about IDF soldiers storming around the Pentagon, making demands. That's pretty interesting. Got a lot of Canadian news for some reason. Well, the reason is because Canada is becoming a globalist hellhole. I also want to talk about what's going on with Harvard, because that is a very interesting series of developments that I want to get into. So I'm going to try to cover all of this and more, but I want to take your calls throughout this hour. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Taking your calls now. And as I'm just even saying that, I'm thinking of other, we got examples of autistic, totally, silent, you know, voiceless children speaking for the first time after being given this new drug that Trump just introduced. when during his Tylenol press conference. I mean, it really just goes on. I got so much to show you. I want to talk about Netflix and the push to legalize pedophilia, which is just incredibly creepy and weird and bizarre. But since we're on the topic of Antifa, since we just saw statements from Katie Davis Court, let's go to clip 13. This is Chief Day addressing misconceptions surrounding recent news, stressing that the situation involves one city block. It's just one city block. What's the big deal? Let's watch.
Is there a myth or a misconception since this news broke that you're like, oh, I just wish people understood this?
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is, and it's been highlighted so many times so well, but I just want to emphasize, this is one city block. City of Portland is about 145 square miles. This is one city block. And even the events that are happening down there do not rise to the level of attention that they are receiving. We are seeing this true for our society in whole. I'm not going to try and editorialize too much, but these, you know, 30-second, 20-second, 15-second clips that are brought in from months ago or maybe even years ago, we've seen Portland portrayed through the events of the lens of 20 and 21. And what's actually happening in the response that we're seeing both from Portlanders and from the Portland Police Bureau is not in line with that national narrative. And it is frustrating, but we're going to continue to stay the course. I said this on Saturday. The actions of the federal government and others doesn't change the resolve that the Portland Police Bureau has to continue to provide the highest level of safety and security and service to Portlanders.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is called gaslighting. That is 100% pure, unadulterated, raw, 100-proof gaslighting right there. Nothing he said is even remotely true. Even if it was true, it's not actually a thing you would say. Oh, it's just one block? Oh, okay, and? What does that even mean? Oh, it's just one block that Antifa has taken over and is beating people and getting away with it. Just one block. It's crazy. Trinidad Aragua only have one apartment complex. What's the big deal? It's just one block. It's like, so what? The cancer's only in one breast. Who cares, right? Gee, it's just one nuclear power plant melting down. What's the big deal? There's a whole bunch of others that aren't. I'm sure. So the news is going to report on the one bus that goes over a bridge. Do you know how many buses didn't go over the bridge? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah, the focus is on the one block because the one block is where the lawlessness is getting people injured and hurt and in some cases killed. But they don't talk about Aaron Danielson. He was murdered. Wasn't that in Portland or was that Seattle? It was one of those. That's just one block though. Who cares, right? Completely insane. It is a completely insane thing to say. I honestly, can you imagine that in any other situation ever? I mean, if your house gets broken into and you get murdered by a criminal, I mean, it's just one house. What about all of your neighbors that weren't murdered and killed? Why should you get so much attention? Why should you be the defining thing of this block? There's a lot of houses on here. There's just one that's a crime scene covered in blood. That's the one you're focusing on? Gee, you must be biased. I mean, that is batshit. That is crazy. That is a crazy way to justify this. And it almost reminds me of the 2020 election thing where they're like, there was no widespread attempt to rig every election in every county in America. It's like, nobody said that. No, you rigged the ones that mattered. You only rigged about five, and they were the five swing states that swung the whole election. We get how it works. So, yes, okay, So how many blocks is it going to take, sir? I mean, you got, what do you say, 175 square miles? One square mile is taken over and basically seceded from the city and is entirely under the control of black-clad communist agitators and criminals. All right, so that's just one. So one block, we're not worrying about it. Two blocks, we worry about it then? Do we need to have 50%? If 50% of your city is taken over by the insane radical domestic terrorists, would we worry then? What, so it's 52 blocks. There's hundreds of blocks in this city. 50 of them are taken over? I mean, who cares? Wow, look at this. Just spotted this outside this ICE facility in Portland. This is Savannah Hernandez. This is the type of art Antifa draws around these areas. They even have an assault tally list where they keep track of how many times they've assaulted local residents and reporters. Jesus. And I've already showed you the videos. I can show you again the local people who are literally jumping up and down and cheering that these people are finally being arrested because they have not been allowed to by the local Portland police. And that's the story that we just had up. David Marcus. My run-in shows that in Portland, it's the cops who are handcuffed. Journalist assaulted with flagpole as officers stand by during more than 100 nights of demonstrations. And literally, the girl gets hit by a flagpole. There's an officer right there. And she's like, will you arrest her? And the officer's just like, nah. And just sort of like follows her along. I mean, it's insane. But this is, we've allowed it to get this way. We have a lot of work to get it back to some sense of normalcy. And when you really, like, it's almost hard to explain because we've been inculcated. We've been like, we've gotten used to this situation. We're the frogs in the boiling pot. And it's like, no, guys, this water is boiling. This is insane that this is happening. You know, another example is this guy that goes out, Cam Higby, I think his name is. He goes out to do like a change my mind thing in D.C. or the one that we saw at the, you know, black college the other day, where it was almost perfect. It was like these guys were sitting at a table offering to debate anybody. They got posters and stuff. The students around them, a bunch of black people, run up, like take their stuff, steal it. The cops are right there. They're standing right there, do nothing to stop the people attacking the guys at the table. The guy gets up from the table to go get his sign back, and the cop comes rushing in. Whoa, we got to separate it. It's like, okay, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on here? Setting up a table in a public place in America is not licensed to be beaten up by radical leftists. And if we had any semblance of law and order in this country, this would be the perfect trap, basically. I mean, and do you think it would be the other way around? You know, if the sides were flipped, if you had leftists out there putting up tables saying whatever crazy bullshit they believe, and you had right-wingers just coming up and ripping the table apart and assaulting them, that the police would stand back and let it happen until the leftist fought back? It's a denial of rights. It's violence with a political purpose. It's literal terrorism. The cop's right there. He lets these people come up and grab the poster and doesn't get involved. And now they approach, Oh, yeah, go back to your table, sir. You're allowed to exist in this country. We are allowed to exist in this country. And we're allowed to exist while displaying our politics. Yeah, they showed up with knives and weapons, chased them off the campus. These campuses are federally funded. We're paying for this hive of anti-American, anti-white criminal scum. I mean, literally, this college shouldn't be able to operate. If you can't go to a university to peacefully advocate for your politics without being physically assaulted by the students, the whole thing should be shut down. If you can't go to a park in Washington, D.C. without being assaulted, we have a major problem here. And again, if we had just the bare semblance of law and order, the first person to try to interrupt this stuff with violence would be slammed to the ground, arrested, and thrown in jail for 10 years for under terrorism charges. And then you do it to the next person, and then the next person. But no, we've literally been indoctrinated into this idea that by being conservative, you therefore, by your existence, invite attack, and it's your fault for existing. It's your fault for saying what you believe. You deserve to be beaten. You deserve to have your things stolen from you. And the police will not help you. They're standing right there actually helping the students drive these people off the campus. It is completely unacceptable. And you absolutely know, with no doubt whatsoever, the instant you fight back, you would be the one arrested. You would be the one thrown in prison. You would be the one with the terrorism enhancement charges. Okay, so we don't have free speech. In this country right now, we do not have free speech. And we're basically Planet of the Apes. And we're basically descending into Planet of the Apes. We've got respectable people just sitting, trying to have a conversation and you know, literally being eaten alive by a pack of chimpanzees. So free speech in this country, that's what exists right now. I haven't even watched all this footage. It's just, This is an American university right now. This is a historically black college. And they tried to set up a table saying the left is violent. And pretty much the entire student body came out to harass and assault them. I mean, if I was in charge, I mean, literally the whole thing would be shut down. The whole university would be repurposed as a prison. And hey, we wouldn't even, it'd be the same student body. It should all be behind bars. So, wow, that's utterly outrageous and infuriating. And so, you know, whether it's a historic black university or a park in DC or Portland Street where people live, we have nobody protecting us. And we have the opposite of that. We have been robbed of our own ability to protect ourselves, because you absolutely know the minute you protect yourself, you're the one in trouble. You're the one who's going to be arrested. Despite the fact these people assault people, get out the next day, friendly lawyers or friendly, you know, judges, lawyers paid for, rewarded by the city in some cases, because they claim they hurt their wrists while they were arrested and the city pays them out $20,000. You know, I think what we need is clip 31. What we need is a little bit more Stephen Miller energy out there. Let's watch.
To the Memphis Police Department, to the officers that I see sitting in front of me, we are about to provide you with a level of support you cannot even imagine. This isn't just a task force. This is a all of government unlimited support operation. ATF, DEA, FBI, ICE, Department of War, every resource we have. And they're not going to be sitting behind a desk at a keyboard. We are sending in real cops with guns and badges to go out with you on the street every single night making arrests. These are people who have taken down drug cartels, kingpins, the worst criminal offenders in the United States. Standing with you, shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. All we ask from you is to show up at roll call every single night with your brothers and sisters in the federal government and to go out and get the criminals off the street. And if you do that, I pledge to you, we will liberate this city from the criminal element that has plagued it for generations. This is not just a strategy shift. This is an attitude shift. We are not going to live in an environment anywhere where there is a street that belongs to a criminal, where there is a neighborhood that belongs to a gang, where there is any physical space anywhere that belongs to anyone other than the law-abiding citizens and families of Memphis. The idea that there is a square inch of block in this city where a citizen doesn't feel safe is unacceptable. This is Memphis. This is the United States of America, and all that bullshit is done. It's over. It's finished.
I love it. I love it. That's the attitude we need. These people aren't going to stop. You can't ask them nicely. They don't believe what you believe. You have to just stop them. We have to stop them. The United States government is the lawful authority in this country, and if they aren't upholding our rights, then we have to uphold them ourselves. And if they're in the way of us upholding our own rights, then they have to be abolished. And all we ask is that the government that's been impaneled, that's been enshrined with a monopoly of force in this country, actually use it to protect the innocent people and not the criminal scumbags who are actively, openly trying to destroy the entire federal government because they think it's capitalist. Okay, can we just do what Nayib Bukele did in El Salvador? He gave us the blueprint. It's a very simple matter. And It's not like we even have MS-13 is not our number one priority. You know, most of the people that we're talking about are criminals, yes. Deserve jail, absolutely. Need to be disenfranchised one way or the other, 100%. But they're not like covered in tattoos, having killed a bunch of people. They're not, no. For the vast majority of them, the instant the tide turns against them, they're going to find something better to do. They're going to do something else. So. Yeah, let's keep going. Let's keep doing this. Let's do it harder and stronger and more intensely. Please, can we do that? Thank you. Let's solve the problems easily with the solutions that are at hand. Now let's go out to calls. It is a who's who of our regular callers. We've got Bart in Georgia. calling in about Hakeem Jeffries. Thanks for calling in, Bart. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. But first, let me talk about this methylene blue. Y'all need to go and order this sale, buy one, get one. I just ordered it. And again, I treated a bleeding wart. I thought it was cancer. It's all gone. You know, you take the liquid form and put it on any kind of skin cancer. You don't market it that way, but it works. Now, Hakeem Jeffries is the dollar store Barack Obama. Maybe I keep suggesting you should sell barf bags and stuff, but this government shutdown, I have a message for Hakeem Jeffries. Not one dime for anybody that's not American, period. Thank you.
Is that so hard, Bart? Is that such a high bar to cross and they can't even get close to it? Thank you very much for the call, Bart, and thank you for the endorsement of Methylene Blue. That, amongst all of our other supplements, buy one, get one right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I hadn't even seen this. Guys, if you can bring up that store page again, looks like we have a new Alamo shirt that I, for some reason, don't have on me right now. Why don't I have this? I think this is like a unique, you know, new design, the Last Stand design. Remember the InfoWar. That is awesome. All right, I know what I'm getting at thealexjonesstore.com. That is badass. Picture of the Alamo with a flag of InfoWars. Also the Charlie Kirk shirts, of course. New designs all the time. And those are all 20% off in addition to the buy one, get one you're getting with the supplements. And go to alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com, and download the Alex Jones Network app for absolutely free. AJN Live. Make sure you're following AJN Live on X, thealexjonesstore.com, alexjonesapp.com. Let's go to Jefferson in Virginia. Thanks for calling in, Jefferson. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out that Tyler Robinson is the new Adam Lanza. He didn't actually pull off the killing.
So I've been watching Candace pretty regularly. She comes up with some pretty interesting stuff, but really the thing that struck me most was either from her show yesterday or the day before, where she's talking about the total lack of evidence when it comes to Tyler Robinson. And I knew some of this, like, they keep saying he confessed, but he never confessed. He never confessed. And I know that's true, but she was saying even more where, like, the parents didn't even really think he did it. And the whole thing is very thin. So what people have heard, what people believe is that Tyler Robinson confessed and that his father turned him in. None of that's really true. And I think there's a lot of questions still about Tyler Robinson, including the Dairy Queen image that seems to not align with any of the timeline. And she also came out with very convincing evidence that the shooter, whoever it was with a woman. He apparently is on camera with a woman that was captured by one of like the Ring camera doorbells. Why has that never been presented? Why has that never been talked about? Why is the FBI not looking for an accomplice if he apparently was with somebody walking through a neighborhood? It's all very suspicious. What do you have for us, Jefferson?
Well, I'm not sure it was. Somebody called into InfoWars that was a fur hunter and said there's a round that can be shot out of a 30-odd six. It's a Sabo round that has a smaller ballistic characteristic than the actual bullet, and it explodes on impact to make sure it doesn't hurt the fur of the animal that you're killing.
Yep.
And that sounded like a reasonable explanation for whatever happened to Charlie Kirk's neck and how the bullet didn't exit the back out of a 30-odd six, if that's the weapon that was actually used. You know, the first time I heard the weapon go off, it sounded like a cannon.
Yeah.
And then in five other videos that I heard, it didn't sound the same. And I know, you know, whatever microphone you're using to record it might alter the sound, but the people that were closer to Charlie seemed to have a different kind of crack to the sound of it rather than a cannon blast. So I'm not sure what the acoustics are that makes that possible, but the whole story is just sort of unraveling. Much like Sandy Hook doesn't make sense the more you look into it. And it's just a strange issue about whether Tyler Robinson, you know, they shut down that place he went to go get a smoothie or whatever it was. What was it, a burger? Dairy Queen. They shut that thing down and almost raised it to the ground. It's gone now. It's just the case is just as weird as it can get. And everything they've told us seems to be contradicted by the next person. You know, Candace Owens says she saw the video and there was no exit wound at the back of his neck. It wasn't until then that they had a surgeon come out and try to explain where the bullet went.
I know. It's all very strange. And there's a lot of inconsistencies still. I want to go to JR in New York. He's on the same topic. Thank you so much for the call as always. Jefferson, JR in New York, what's your theory on this?
Hey,
How you doing, Harrison? Good job on the war room. So I was just going to say, and I wanted to say something about Trump after, just quickly. It could have been a drone that was somewhere high above him or on an angle somewhere in the distance, like a mounted weapon on a drone, because they could carry like a heavy payload, and that would kind of go for that like high angle that it might have, you know, bounced in and come to the surface. Or we really don't even know if there was a bullet at the surface, because we didn't get any autopsy report, anything actually that's like that we could all believe. So
I believe there has been an autopsy. I haven't seen the report, but I remember I covered a story early on that said there was an autopsy, and that was another thing that Candace said yesterday, was that you know, she'd confirmed that there was an autopsy as well. So we haven't seen the report yet, but you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it could have been who knows, a drone, or the exploding mic thing is interesting, because you see that like that energy pattern that was there with the video, that where the shirt looked like it was a glowing green, where there's like a lot of motion coming from within the shirt.
There's a lot of motion. That's absolutely true.
So definitely weird. So about Trump, I just wanted to say, yeah, we all like, we like what he's doing, some of the stuff, but then he goes around and has Albert Bourla up there. So it's either he's either playing chess, he's controlled, or he's a Satanist. You know what I'm saying? Like one of those three things.
It's got to be one of those. I have a hard time disagreeing with you. More on the other side. Stay with us.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take 5-year supplements. So it's been helping me out for the last 3 years, last 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble bashing, like getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on in my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about Methylene Blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up, because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it, because you had to buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the Methylene Blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our Methylene Blue, and it's kept you regressed, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
right now? I'm walking.
Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to. Don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly.
Yeah.
Where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the Methylene Blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down, and I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that is great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the Methylene Blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay, what, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day
right.
and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well,
thank
you.
Me having it.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so
much. You for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
Final segment of the War Room is on. I'll go off to your phone calls here momentarily, but I got to cover Israel for a minute because I don't even know if they understand just how bad their PR is at this point. I mean, it's real bad. It's real bad. And for good reason, and it should be, and they deserve it. But it's coming out in places. It's revealing itself in places you wouldn't expect. Let's go to clip number 18 here. This is comedian Theo Von, who apparently was having some trouble with a Netflix special. He was filming a Netflix special, you know, stand-up routine, and he couldn't remember his lines, and there were rumors that it was just a bad taping. Then afterwards, somebody's filming him shaking hands with people, and he makes a joke, and he says, I'm just trying not to kill myself. And that went viral. And so this is him addressing it, and he brings up Israel. And if I was Israeli, I would be concerned about this. Let's watch.
You know that. If you've listened to this show before or seen anything, you know I say stuff. I would never take my own life. I would never take my own life. Okay? You hear that, Israel? I would never take my own life. I'm grateful to God for his grace in my life. Happened, but then the thing that like made everything hectic was someone recorded a video of me joking around about suicide. And I didn't even mean to. I didn't know people were recording me.
So, isn't that interesting? He's like, I'm not suicidal. Hear me, Israel. I'm not suicidal. And it's like, well, why would they want to kill Theo Von? It's like, I don't know. They kill everybody. So, you know, it's like, you've earned this reputation. You deserve it. You deserve it. And it's going to get worse because you don't seem capable of acknowledging that it might be your behavior that's causing people to think things about you that you don't like. It actually seems like a deliberate blind spot. Yeah, he says free Palestine. I maybe knows more, you know, than he's saying. I'll say it again. Just don't hold secrets. Just say what you think. Just say what you believe. Especially if it's anti-Israel. Especially if it's, you know, something that could get you killed. You have to say it. Then they won't kill you. They'll kill you to keep things secret. Keep things silent. Okay. So they got problems. They got big problems. I got a couple of videos of Tucker Carlson getting into some of this, and some of it's pretty shocking, pretty outrageous. Let's go to, well, which one should we go to? Let's go to clip five here. Let's go to clip five, and because this is about Benjamin Netanyahu meddling in American politics. Let's watch.
The Prime Minister of Israel goes on television to openly meddle in internal American politics, taking sides, attacking people, Americans, because they're not fully on board with sending billions more to a country of 9 million people?
He talked about the woke right. He said, I call it the woke Reich. That's a brilliant.
That's brilliant.
The woke Reich, because these people, you know, they're not any different from the woke left. I mean, they're insane. They're lunatics. Mm-hmm. We have to fight back. How do we fight back? Our influencers. And the most important purchase that is going on right now is TikTok, number one. And the other one, X. You know, so we have to talk to Elon. He's not an enemy. We have to fight the fight.
anyone who opposes me in the United States, who opposes more aid to Israel or opposes getting sucked into war with Iran, which does not serve American interests, that person is not simply mistaken or wrong. I'm not going to bother to explain why that person is wrong. That person is a Nazi, part of the woke Reich, a Nazi. And the only way to fix it is by preventing Americans in the last country on earth with guaranteed freedom of speech, prevent Americans from hearing the other side. And so we push Congress to force a TikTok sale, which is true, by the way. And when that happened, and various members of Congress like, no, really, it's about China. There were people online who said, no, I think it's really about Israel. Here he is just admitting, no, we pushed the U.S. Congress to censor in the United States, to commit censorship in the United States because we think it's bad for us. And we need to talk to Elon. You know, that's the point at which you just say no.
Yeah, we should have said no a long time ago. Obviously, I mean, again, you have to be an idiot not to know what the TikTok sale was about. Or you have to be pretending to be an idiot. But that's what they do. You know, they just give you the bare minimum excuse and they just run with that. Doesn't matter how fake it is. Doesn't matter if they actually tell you the truth, you know, later in the sentence. You know, they'll call you an anti-Semite for noticing. But I think it's worse than even Tucker's making it out to be. From Yahoo News, TikTok investor worried about love and respect for Israel in the U.S. So this is Oracle CEO Safra Katz, who's currently leading the acquisition of TikTok's U.S. assets, told former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak in 2015, I wonder if they were hanging out at Jeffrey Epstein's place together, that they have to embed the love and respect for Israel in the American culture. You know, the way that they do that is by taking on American cultural icons or American cultural properties and then turning it towards Israel. You know, we've explained this with things like AIPAC. AIPAC does this. AIPAC will pay Americans to start Facebook groups about all sorts of random things that have nothing to do with Israel. There's one about cats. There's one about coffee. And it's just, you know, coffee lovers Facebook group. And 99% of what they put out is strictly just coffee material. And they get millions of followers who just hear them, talk about coffee. And then just every 100th post or so, they'll drop one that's just like, oh, by the way, Israel, we stand with Israel and we support Israel. And so what it leaves you the impression of is not that this is an Israeli propaganda outlet. What it gives you the impression of is, oh, this is a normal American thing and they love Israel. So this must be a normal American thing to express. And it just becomes, you know, inculcated as something regular and normal and, you know, not propaganda, but just a normal expression from your friends that love coffee. So, you know, they're very good at this and they've been doing this for years. So TikTok investor wants to embed love and respect for Israel in the American culture, you know, against our will. Kind of a form of rape if you think about it. From the general, TikTok has started censoring posts that talk about AIPAC's influence in the United States after a change in ownership by Israeli-aligned billionaires. Oh, well, what do you know? Oh, gee, look at that. So now if you say that AIPAC controls Republicans and Democrats, TikTok will remove you. It's funny, the Chinese never did that. So, but, you know, long story, like Israel took control of TikTok, you know, through their incredible power in the American government. You know, their incredible, really unmatched authority in America, their ability to get the American government to do whatever they want, whenever they want. They use that ability to get control of TikTok, and then they use TikTok to censor anybody talking about their ability to do that. So it's very nice. It's very convenient for them, I think. On TikTok, you can still search evil Muslims. That'll have results. Or evil Christians. That'll give you results. But if you search evil Jews, no results found. So you can still hate Christians. You can still hate Muslims. That's fine. Just no anti-Semitism, okay? That means criticizing Israel or referencing Jews or using emojis that they don't like, okay? So thank God we got that away from China. Because you understand, it's still going to be just as bad. It's like Harvard. They say, we are getting rid of the Harvard president because DEI. We're going to fight against DEI. So then they get a new Harvard president that's as much, if not more, dedicated to DEI, only he's an Israeli. Only he's a Zionist Jewish guy. You know, everything else is the same. All the stuff that it's predicated on, exactly the same. If you hated TikTok because China's feeding things to your kids, it's destroying them. There's still going to be, if anything, there's going to be more twerking videos. There's going to be more softcore pornography fed to your kids. There's going to be more degenerate, disgusting, mind-melting stuff on TikTok. There just won't be anti-Semitism. And by anti-Semitism, we mean the truth about what Israel's doing. All the bad stuff is staying and probably increasing, if I had to guess. None of that's going away. the only thing going away is criticism of AIPAC, ADL, Jewish control, whatever else. As James Lee points out, so America gives billions of dollars to Israel. Israel is then pouring that money back into America to pay influencers to put Israeli interest above their own. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Israel. What would we do without you? Best ally, right? And this, of course, in response to the revelation that Israel is paying influencers $7,000 per post. Which, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice to make that much money? And Israel paying influencers $7,000 per post. Really incredible. As Marjorie Taylor Greene points out, all social media influencers being paid by the Israeli government or any foreign government to promote a foreign country and a foreign country's interests must register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act under the DOJ. She, of course, specifically calling out Israel for doing this quite publicly. But then it gets, you know, extra dangerous because as soon as they get their teeth in TikTok, as soon as they conquer TikTok via America, as soon as they use American power to take over TikTok in order to silence Americans speaking up against them, they immediately move their site like the eye of Sauron to X, and they are gunning for X, and they are going to bring all forces to bear against X. X is the new battlefield, and there are like 100 stories. I got all these stories are from yesterday. First, echo chamber notes, force the sale of TikTok to Larry Ellison, immediately begin pressure campaign on X. And in just one day, CNN, Musk's X is the go-to platform for anti-Semitism. Jewish Council for Public Affairs exposed anti-Semitism on X. X is among the most effective tool at spreading anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism thriving in plain sight on X. Year-long study finds platform X a major hub for anti-Semitic content and ineffective moderation. Study, anti-Semitism thriving in plain sight on X from Jewish Insider. Musk's X is go-to platform for anti-Semitism. I mean, it just goes on and on. X is now one of the most effective tools. X among the most effective tools. Same wording, different articles. So, watch out, Elon. So all I'm saying is watch out, Elon. They're coming for you next, and God only knows what, you know, tricks they'll pull to try to get so-called anti-Semitism, a.k.a. reality about Israel, off of X. It's just infuriating. And as a final note, and I'll finish quickly, and then I'll go out to your calls. This is one of the things I think that is so frustrating about this. As I was trying to explain to Ezra Levant when he was here, it's not even so much that Israel gets everything it wants in this country. It's that it gets everything it wants in every Western country at the expense of the natives. It would be, I think it would be fine if TikTok was sold to an American conglomerate, if Donald Trump himself took it over, and instead of banning, you know, any negative anything about Jewish people or Israel, you know, banned socialist crap. Like, okay, that would actually preserve America. It'd actually be in our interest. It would actually be something that affects us, not a foreign state. I'd be much more okay with that. But no, we suffer, we strive. We get our guys elected, and then they immediately give everything to Israel. All the rewards go directly to Israel. Okay? So this is a story that, again, I was talking to Ezra Levant about, who claiming not to know about this. But this is insane. Northwestern students blocked from enrollment after controversial anti-Semitism training. At least 300 students have been prohibited from registering for classes at Northwestern University because they refused to watch a controversial anti-Semitism training video that they said was biased in favor of Israel, contained factual inaccuracies, and could inflame campus tensions over Gaza. The university's decision puts jobs, visas, stipends, and health insurance at risk, students said during a press conference in Chicago on Friday morning. But those who spoke said they are unwilling to do the training. So they literally are like, you can't enroll in college in America until you watch a propaganda piece lying about Gaza and trying to get you to love Israel more? What? That is completely insane. That's completely unacceptable and outrageous, and like I don't know where you expect this to go. Like, everything you're doing is making me more anti-Semitic. You understand that, right? That I don't actually have a problem with Jews, but like, this ain't Israel. These are Americans doing this, and that's unacceptable and infuriating. And then you have this. Police shoot suspect wearing explosive device during deadly terror attack at UK synagogue. Suspect was wearing his body wearing about his body a vest which had the appearance of an explosive device. A knife-wielding suspect wearing a possible suicide vest was shot dead by police after two people were killed and more injured during a terrorist incident at a synagogue in the United Kingdom on Thursday, authorities said. This is horrifying. It's totally undeserved. Completely, you know, the outcome of, you know, what we've been fighting against the entire time, the Muslim invasion of England. Like, what do you expect? This is awful, and we completely denounce it. But then I was looking at the response to this from Keir Starmer in particular, and I compared it to the response to the Southport murders, you know, equally horrific, little girls being stabbed. And the difference is interesting. So when they first happened, in both sides, he puts out a pretty boilerplate response, right? So when it comes to the Southport stabbing, little white girls being killed by an illegal migrant, horrendous and deeply shocking news emerging from Southport. My thoughts are with those affected. I would like to thank the police and emergency services for their swift response. I'm being kept updated as the situation developed. Okay, very boilerplate. Not that out of the ordinary. The same sort of initial response from him with the synagogue attack was fairly similar, a little bit more human, a little bit more, you know, understanding. I'm appalled by the attack of the synagogue in Crumsall. The fact that this has taken place on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, makes it all the more horrific. My thoughts are with the loved ones of those affected. My thanks to the emergency service. Okay, but pretty similar. Not totally different. You know, one, he notes the religious affiliation of the victims. The others, you know, just the people of Southport, but that's fine. But then the next response is where it gets telling, okay? The full remarks concerning the Southport stabbing went like this. The whole nation is reeling from the horrific scenes we've seen in Southport. No words can describe the devastation felt by the families, the community, or indeed the whole country. I'm absolutely determined that my government will get grips with knife crime. Oh, it's knife crime now. So we're not looking at the perpetrator's motive. We're not looking at the characteristics of the victims. Now it's knife crime because the knife is the thing that's wrong. I'm very worried about the levels of knife crime in our country. Yes, it's those damn knives. If you could just get rid of the knives, everything would be solved, right? We'll take the necessary steps to ensure we reduce knife crime. So again, it's all about knife crime in this situation. But then it gets insane because then people start protesting against this, and he goes after the victims. He goes after the people who were targeted. The people of Southport are reeling after the horror inflicted on them yesterday. They deserve our support and our respect. Those who have hijacked the vigil for the victims with violence and thuggery have insulted the community as it grieves. They will receive the full force of the law. The people he's talking about are the locals in Southport, infuriated that their daughters were murdered because of the immigration policies of the federal, of the UK government. They're pissed off that the government welcomes these people in and then lets them stab their children. And then he says, how dare you? How dare you focus on the actual cause of this attack? How dare you speak out for yourself? The full force and weight of the law will be coming at you, Southport victims, for daring to notice the characteristics of the victims versus the one perpetrating it. A little bit different when you get to the synagogue attack today. This morning, an appalling attack took place in Crumsall in Manchester. Two people have died. The suspect was a vile individual who committed a terrorist attack that attacked Jews because they are Jews. On behalf of our country, I express my solidarity, but also my sadness that you still have to live with these fears. Nobody should have to do that. Nobody. Yeah, a little bit different. A little bit different. Because see, the Southport attack was an attack on white people because they were white. When white people said that, Keir Starmer's response was to sick the police on them, charge them with hate crimes, and throw them in prison for years for pointing that out. When it's Jews, it's this is attack on Jews because they were Jews. We stand in solidarity with the Jews. I can't believe that this has affected you. Nobody should have to live with this. All of our resources are at your disposal, Jewish community. Do you see how people might feel like this is a little unfair, like it's a little one-sided, that their own country that their forefathers built, that they have ancestors to go back to the Ice Age occupying, demonizes them for pointing out that they're under attack. But when it comes to Jewish people, it becomes the center point and, you know, it's all about that. And it's not just recognized, but, you know, powerfully made statements about it. Again, should he made that statement about Jews when it comes to an attack on the synagogue? Yes, of course. Why wouldn't he? he would only not make that statement. He would only then threat, like imagine if he said, you know, some of the Jews out there are taking this little attack and they're making a big deal out of it and they're trying to distract from it and they're disrespecting the victims and the police are coming for you, Jews, if you dare to try to, you know, stand up in solidarity about this. You can't imagine it. You can't imagine it because he doesn't hate Jews. He hates his own people. They hate their own people. And again, this type of discrepancy in the way that regular citizens are treated, whether or not they're Jewish, determines whether or not the government genuinely, like literally even cares about them or whether they will be thrown in jail for caring about themselves. It's a little bit hard to ignore. It's a little bit too much at this point. It's a little bit infuriating. So while I completely and utterly disavow anything about this synagogue attack, and I think Keir Starmer was right in saying what he said, it's the discrepancy between that and the way white people are treated when white people are under attack. It's the white people that get demonized. It's the white people that then get threatened with police action for daring to not properly mourn their victims. It's genuinely disgusting. And he's made like multiple statements about this. The hatred is rising once again and must be defeated. Britain must defeat the rising anti-Semitic hatred. Could you ever imagine him saying that about white people when, you know, 10 little girls are butchered in broad daylight because they're white? And he says, white people, if you think this is about white people, if you want to stand up for white people, you will be thrown in jail for years. But when it comes to Jews, we must defeat this rising anti-Semitism. The Jewish community in Britain will see a more visible police presence as we deploy additional police assets at synagogues across the country. I will do everything in my power to guarantee you the security you deserve. The Jewish community in Britain will see a more visible police presence as we deploy additional security assets to synagogues across the country. I'll do everything in my power to guarantee you the security you deserve. Compared to those who have hijacked the vigil for the victims, have insulted the community as it grieves, you will feel the full force of the law. Yeah, a little bit of a discrepancy there. A little bit of something that's too blatant to notice. Okay, so that's the problem. If you want to know what the problem is, it's not anti-Semitism. It's this, whatever this is. Let's go out to your calls now. Frankie in Montana is on line 9. Thanks for calling in, Frankie. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, I just wanted to give you maybe a little good news. I work in the emergency department out here, and I have shared the methylene blue with my crew, and everybody has really noticed the effect.
Wow, amazing.
Because we are really bombarded, and I've been taking it since May, okay? Also, I wanted to say, and I'm not sure, this is maybe a little bit of good news. I don't want to put out a false hope here. We have seen an amazing drop in illegal immigrants come through our ER.
Interesting.
They've gone from 20 people a day that don't speak English from Honduras, Nicaragua, you know, all kinds of places in South America or Americas, down to 2 a day.
20 a day to 2 a day, huh? That is a staggering drop. That's amazing. It's a 90% drop.
We have all noticed it, and I've been waiting to call and say anything because this has been since May, and
wow.
Now we're what, September, October?
Let me ask you, do you think that's because they're just not coming? Like, were the immigrants that were coming in before, were they coming in with, like, serious injuries, or was it like, well, I've got a cold? Because I'm wondering if maybe the migrants previously just went in for anything because it was free and they could go in if they were feeling bad. And now it's like, all right, I'm not going to risk being caught, so I'm going to only go in if it's a real emergency. What do you think the likelihood of that is?
Bingo.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's still very good to hear. I'm sorry. I'd love to talk to you more, Frankie. I rambled a little bit, and I want to get to at least one more call, but I really appreciate your call, and I love you spreading the word about the supplements. They're really good. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Listen to Frankie. She knows what she's talking about. If you can handle working in an emergency room, yeah, maybe you need methylene blue to get you through it, because that's a very difficult job and it's a very powerful supplement. Thank you, Frankie, for the call. Tim in Seattle, go ahead. You're on the air. 1 minute left in the show. The floor is yours, sir.
I appreciate you getting to me. No matter where you guys go, we're always going to be following you guys. We're always going to be listening for the latest and greatest. You guys basically carved the internet to what it is now. We really appreciate it. The one thing that I think that would be really effective in the InfoWar is that we stop using the algorithms in our social media. And I think it'd be really effective if Jones himself would go to the White House and start bullhorning Trump and get him back in line. Because again, we are MAGA and Trump rode in on this wave. And so I think, need our leader. We need our leader to go to the White House and actually bullhorn Trump until we finally figure out what's going on. Because we hear a lot of like Trump's good, Trump's bad, Trump's good, Trump's bad. I think he's overall bad. I honestly do. And I think it'd be really effective if we could get some.
I totally agree. I'm sorry. We've come to the end of the show here, Tim. You are a true info warrior and a great man. Tim in Seattle, Tim Lasley, you gotta go follow him on X. I think you're exactly right. I think that's a brilliant idea. I think we should be bullhorning the White House. And I agree at this point. I think the scales have tipped and Trump is a net negative at this point. Not saying he's not doing good things, but it's a lot of bad things. We'll be back tomorrow, folks.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. You know, it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week
right.
to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right.
and pay what? I don't know. $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!